Adam Carolla Show, live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. For Miller Lite's Rockin' Racing Weekend. Adam's guests, comedian Bobby Slayton, Wayne Brady, George Maloof, and NASCAR driver Robbie Gordon. Plus, one spin of the roulette wheel decides if someone wins 50 grand. Here's the Ace Man on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. Hey, now. Good times. How did we get Maloof booked on the show? That must have been tough. He probably had to go like a floor or two to be a guest on the show.
He acts like he owns the place.
Yeah, he walks around here like his poop doesn't stink. You know, I told him, I ran into him in the casino. I told him my highball needed a little freshening up, and he gave me the stink eye.
How dare he?
Maloof, you own the place. Come on, how about you freshen up the highball?
You sent him packing, and he said, get.
Bald Brian over there. See how bald he is, everybody? Teresa, looking like the beautiful strumpet she is out in the audience. Now, normally we do House Say You in the morning. People call up. They ask any question they like of the show. We don't have the phone lines hooked up, but we do have a sizable partisan crowd here tonight. T has a microphone, so why don't you just hand it off to the first Goomba you see and ask him How Say You.
Okay, Goomba, what's your name and how say you?
My name is Bob. I'm from Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day you were talking...
Thanks for making the pilgrimage out tonight,
yeah.
Bob.
Well, I got the backpack on, so it did
take
me a little
while. Right, what'd you do? Have to cross a street or something, or you work at the hotel?
Henderson.
Oh, Henderson. Yeah. Nice. All right.
Very good barbecue there.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Lucille's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good plug.
Okay, when you guys are done with your date, I'll take the question Bob has.
Yeah, I got a question. The other day you were talking about all your endeavors, and one of those things was a network project that you said was not Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
And you were really excited about it.
Oh, yes. Was I allowed to talk about it? I'm not sure if I'm officially allowed to talk about it or not, but I will talk about it. It's a show out of England called Top Gear. You guys know that one?
You know it?
Heard of it.
It's listen, all you bumpkins, I know you're here to see Robbie Gordon, but this show is wait, who's here? Yeah, I got it right. Robbie Gordon, right? Listen,
NASCAR.
This is not a NASCAR show. This is a show out of England called Top Gear. It's like the biggest show in England and one of the biggest shows in Europe, and it's a lot of like Ferraris and Maseratis and all that kind of stuff. If you go to BBC America, I think you can find Top Gear. So anyway, here's the point. Super cool, super expensive, super high-end car nut show on NBC primetime. So instead of doing that thing where it's like, hey, we gave these guys $40 to rebuild a motorcycle in 14 weeks, instead it's like a whole bunch of...
Wow.
You know what it is?
First S-bomb of the evening.
I got to cut myself off. I've had like a thimble of Miller Lite. I'm already swearing like a sailor.
Drunk.
You know what it is? I'm not used to talking. I'm used to cussing at this time of the evening. Because what I do is I do, I don't give an S and I don't give a F all morning, and then as soon as I get home, I start the real swearing. So my clock, my cuss clock is turned around. I've crossed some sort of international cuss zone, and I've screwed up my cussing clock. So forgive me, but anyway, high-end show, cool, and if you like cars, you'll like this show.
Does this show already exist on American cable?
It exists in England and can be seen on BBC America out here, out of England. Yes, who's next?
Okay, what's your name and how say you?
Hi, Teresa, John, Adam. You know you're a sexy man and all that, but...
Thank you.
Teresa, when are you going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, thank you very much. When I get a lot more famous. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Even if they did a show called Dancing with the Morning Radio Sidekicks in the Los Angeles area on the FM dial, T probably wouldn't make the cut unless they opened the field to like 100.
Dance rings around you, though.
Oh, of course. Look, every guy here can dance better than me. But as I pointed out to that little pixie I was rehearsing with today,
Julianne,
I said, Sweet and Pea, it's Dancing with the Stars, and guess who the star is in this ballroom? That's right, the Ace Man.
Now, how was dance practice today?
I think she's given up on me, and I'll tell you why. I swear to you, do you tell me how you would take this? We had to get together early this morning because I was going to drive out here. I did drive out here after I was done spinning her around the ballroom. So she shows up, and she's wearing UGG boots.
Right.
And she's dancing. And after about an hour of dancing with the UGG boots on, I thought she was, like, warming up, you know.
Yeah.
But at a certain, we're going to go for, like, 2 hours. And at a certain point, I said, sweetie, what happened to the dance heels? Did you forget them in the car? And she goes, no, I got them. And I go, well, aren't you supposed to put on your dance shoes? And she goes, I'm not a morning person. And I thought, wow, she's officially given up. That's that, you know what I mean? Like that's that little league coach that hits you one ground ball and says, all right, throw it to first. And then you're standing there and you go, what about another coach? And he goes, yeah, you're good. That means you ain't going to make the show. That means he's given up on you, right? She left her UGG. She danced in UGG boots for 2 hours today.
Now, nothing
did she,
else.
That would be hot. Did she ask you to press your groin closer as she has in the past?
No, the love is gone. The UGG boots. There's a big UGG boot between us. She duct taped an UGG boot to her crotch, and I had to press my crotch into an UGG boot, which, by the way, you could do worse, gents. You could do a hell of a lot worse than your crotch in an UGG boot.
Maybe you could get an UGG dance belt. You know what I mean?
I'll shove it in my codpiece. Who's next?
All right. What's your name and how say you?
My name is Albert.
Albert.
I'm from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Hey, how do you think Lynette feels about you going to Spearmint Rhino later?
Good question.
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
You know.
That's Lynette's voice, everyone.
Yes. She understands it's part of the gig. I mean, you know, it is one of these jobs where you have to drive a Subaru WRX STI to some beautiful hotel, drink Miller Lights.
We're
then
forced to drink Jim Beam and Miller Lights.
And then end up at a Spearmint Rhino at the end
go
of the night. Yes.
And probably it would be rude for you to not accept a lap dance.
Oh, it's a slap in the hymen to all the, or the labia, or whatever they have down there. The point is,
but more likely a labia.
Not hymen.
Well, it's not the hymen. I would say it would be the labia, but possibly even minora, not the majora. But here's my point. Yes, when you go into a strip club, that's like international waters. And you have to participate in the customs.
Right.
Of the land. You know what I mean? When you travel and the Japanese chick says, hey, take the shoes off before you come in the dojo, you don't go out of my way. No, you take your shoes off, and when you go to the Spearmint Rhino in Vegas, you hold your lap still and you take your Dockers off.
Do you really hold your lap still?
There's a weird technique. I haven't really quite perfected it. Do you do the one where you put your hands behind your head and you do that thing where you interlock your fingers and lounge? Or you do the one where you set a pretend to grab her butt, but then if you do grab her butt, some guy comes by and hits you with a mag light. Like, hey, come on. Let's go now.
Move it along.
So then you do that thing where you pretend to grab her butt, but you're not really grabbing your butt. You're just kind of hovering outside the butt. Then every once in a while, you're like, honey, your thighs must be killing you. I'll give you a little
boost.
I'll give you a little boost. You can go ahead and take a breather on my palms. So I'm never sure what to do. I like to just sort of assume a sort of lounge. You know, I'll tell you the pose I assume.
Okay.
When you've reclined the chair in an airliner and you're going to try to rest up, but you don't want to fall asleep because you snore.
Okay.
I'm going to catch a couple. I'm just going to recline. I'm going to close my eyes and just recline. That's my move.
And obviously you're not going to ask the stripper any personal questions, as she might just regale you with stories about her children or her stabbings.
Right. Yes. Or both, as David Alan Greer learned out here many years ago when we were doing Crank Yankers.
We've got one more. How say you? What's your name and how say you?
I'm Matt Blanche from Albany, New York.
All right, Matt.
And he is intoxicated.
Yes, he is.
I've been drinking since 4 o'clock.
You know what I like about guys from New York? They expect applause during the breaks. I go, my name's Matt Blanche from New York. Like, say, go Giants.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
Were you expecting a little applause?
Enjoy the H-Man
show.
I think
I was.
You want to try it again? Go ahead.
All right. This is Matt Blanche from Albany, New York.
Yeah. What's happening, man?
All right. You know, every 4 years, there's an extra day in February.
Right.
What do you think about that day, and what do you think we should do on that day? Because I don't know what to do, man.
I say give it to the blacks. It's black history.
They've earned it. One day every 4 years, plus their month in February.
I think it should be black. I should be just do whatever you want day for the blacks. It's in black history. Go sick. You want to rob a bank? You want to jaywalk?
Right.
Or you just want to stay home and read a book? Whatever you want, that's your day.
Adam, I would run
That's your snow day, ironically.
That's a black snow day. I would run your black snow day idea by, if I wasn't looking into a sea of white people.
There's one black guy you can ask him right there.
Oh, look at you. Oh, my gosh, it's BZ.
BZ's here.
What's up, man?
BZ, so February, Black History Month. Right. But every 4 years, we get an extra day.
Right.
I say that's your day. It's okay. In your month. How about that? It's your just let your freak fly day. I almost cussed again. But you know what I mean? That's exactly what I did.
I'm going to do that.
You do whatever you want once every 4 years that one day.
4 years.
I guess.
That's all a brother can get is one day every 4 years.
Well, you do get the whole month every year. But that's, you know, you don't really get a lot done during that 1 month. That's just to kind of remember people that died, you know, during the cause. But for the one day... All rules have been lifted.
Adam, it's tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you might want to rethink.
Oh, good Lord.
Strategy.
Okay. I'm going to rethink that and get back to you on it, BZ.
Good looking out.
Hey, good looking out for you, too. Hey, T-Bone?
Yep.
How about you haul your sexy white mini skirt plaid butt up here? She really looks good, doesn't she?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we owe it to the fans of Vegas because we really appreciate that you've made us number one and that you've supported Adam since the beginning.
Thank you, fans of Vegas, and thank you for brown-nosing the fans of Vegas, T.
That's what I'm here for.
Thank God there's so much spray-on tan, you can't tell when she's been brown-nosing everybody.
I'm on my third layer. I'm Eva Longoria in it tonight.
Oh, wow. Maybe you'll qualify for Black History Month.
BZ, I'm getting close, right?
You guys can go set cop cars on fire tonight. Go ahead. It's tomorrow. I think tomorrow's the one day.
There All right. No bigot,
Speaking BZ. Of brown-nosing, George Maloof, everybody. The owner of this joint is on the show. We're in Vegas, and we will... Ah, there he is. We'll take a quick break, George. We'll be back to interview you next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. With a look at what's coming up on today's show, here's program director Jack Silver.
Always bet on Jack, peeps! Tonight, Wayne Brady! Comedian Bobby Slayton, NASCAR driver Robbie Gordon, a Vegas edition of Gay Walking, and someone might win $50,000 on one roulette spin. Now let's get this show moving. Jack Man's already down $20,000, and that's just from Thunder from Down Under. Okay.
Thank you, Jack. And now the guy whose hotel we're trashing, George Maloof, is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, George.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us at your fine establishment. I'll start with the question I ask everybody from Vegas. When are we going to get that bullet train from L.A. to Las Vegas?
Not soon enough. That's been an idea that's been around for quite some time.
I was a freshman at North Hollywood High when I first heard the idea 25 years ago, and still no bullet train. I imagine those of you who own hotels here would like more people heading on the bullet train to your fine establishment.
That would be great. No, that train's been in planning for a long time, and maybe someday.
But nothing in the foreseeable future. And then, secondly, what about McCarran? What about the lines? What about the security lines? I mean, and I don't know how friendly you are with all the other hotel owners, Steve Wynn and guys like that, but I'd imagine getting people to your city as quickly and easily and effortlessly as possible would behoove all of you, right?
Yes.
It seems like it's a little bit of a cluster F, pardon the pun, whenever you try to leave McCarran and you try to get out with Southwest and they have the two security lines and the thing goes around the block. Is there any plans or anything you're aware of, an expansion or anything like that?
Well, I know that we're always looking at ways to improve traffic in and out of McCarran, and there is an expansion plan going on, and it's happening.
And that should be completed in our lifetime, sometime after the bullet train is done.
No, that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
There is an important improvement that's already been made. I want to point out that there's a sunset tan that's moving in here to the Palms. I saw the sign.
Well, then all is forgiven. And speaking of other endeavors, oh, wait a minute, Sunset Tan moving in here, they did a reality TV show.
Right, and they're
going to
do
one
out of the Vegas location next.
Ah,
right.
Are you going to be showing up and getting sprayed down at any point?
I've never been tan. I've never been in a tan.
Never been a spray tan? Right. That's right.
I have so much spray tan on, George. If you just look at me, you'll get bronze.
But here's the thing. I don't know if you're single or you're married or what your status is, George.
Single.
Single. But your spray tan is really your wallet. It's not really your... You have a tan wallet. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to go through, like, the caps, the tans, all the rigmarole, all the dance and all this stuff. You don't do that when you're George Maloof. You just go, hey, look up. You see those 40 stories up there? I own that. Now, there you go.
Well, the
Make
problem is, George Maloof should maybe think about going on Dancing with the Stars like Mark Cuban did, so people would know your face better for the dating.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, because you don't wear
wait
your
to
wallet
see Adam.
Out.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and it also strikes me we have almost the same hair.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
So give us the Maloof journey. Start us at the beginning and take us through tomorrow. How does it begin for you? How do the brothers Maloof get together? How's the real estate thing start up? Where does it all start?
Well, we've been very fortunate because we've had a great base to build. My father started and expanded a business in New Mexico that my grandfather actually started.
Now, was it a hotel business?
It was actually a general store in Las Vegas, New Mexico, believe it or not.
So there's a Las Vegas, New Mexico.
Absolutely. It's
and that's where Grandpa Maloof got started.
With a general store.
And then Father Maloof starts in with the commercial real estate.
Actually, we were beer distributors. We're beer distributors. And also Miller Lite distributors in New Mexico now, as well as big supporters of Miller Lite. I went to school in Las Vegas in the mid-80s.
You were running Rebel, UNLV.
Right.
You played on the football team, you're telling me, off the air. Did you play against any guys that later on went to the NFL and became big guys or any schools like that?
Yeah, I played with Icky Woods.
Really?
Shug Knight was on my team.
Shug Knight was on your team? Now, he was the punter, right?
Shug was
because
a punter.
If I know... You know, my football, I know that the 300-pound, 6'5 black dudes always are the punter, right? What position did Shug Knight play? Any position he wanted? Or?
Yeah, he was defensive lineman. Really, he was a great player.
Was he scary?
He was great. I mean, he just got it done. Worked hard.
Really? And did you get the idea that he'd be doing what he's doing now back then, or did you just think he was going to go
and by
pro?
By that, you mean time?
Like, yes. Is he doing time right now?
He was. I don't know if he's out, but he's definitely been doing time.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's doing time.
So you tell me, Shug Knight and George Maloof were on the same. Like, if I went and found the 1985 picture from the UNLV football team, I'd go, hey, there's Shug Knight and...
Icky Woods.
Icky Woods. Now, Icky wasn't on the team, right?
He was.
So can George do the Icky shuffle?
Icky is on the team from the Bengals, of course, the originator of the Icky shuffle. Icky's on the team. Shug Knight's on the team. George Maloof. So I feel like I feel like you have almost all your bases covered at that point. Like, there's nobody in between Icky Woods. The only person in between Shug Knight and George Maloof is Icky Woods, and he's on the team.
That's funny.
Anybody else? Any famous magicians? Any famous singers? The guy from Maroon 5 on the team or something? Was Adam Levine on the team?
No, Adam was on the team.
Well, because it is kind of weird because UNLV, not known as a big football powerhouse, yet... A bunch of, a football player got drafted out of there, I guess, right to the Bengals. And then another two guys became moguls. But do you keep in touch, by the way, with anybody?
I see Shug from time to time. And I've talked to Icky. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Great guys.
And Shug remembers you.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't come in and just yell at you about getting an upgrade to a suite. He remembers playing ball with you.
Yeah, our lockers were right next to each other.
Really?
Yeah.
Surprised he didn't annex your locker. My feet are too big. I need your locker too. I got size 14 cleats.
Well, if anything, George might annex his locker because you're the real estate and hotel mogul.
Decent point. So you now graduate after laying out Icky and Shug on the gridiron. You graduate UNLV?
Yes.
And you go on to what? What's the first gig?
I went back to New Mexico and worked with my family.
Talk about life in the fast lane. Right back to New Mexico to work at the general store.
He had a hotel chain in New Mexico. And at the same time, was looking for land in Las Vegas to develop a locals casino, which we opened in 1994 called the Fiesta.
Now, can you believe at a locals casino, describe that or define that for those who don't know what it is?
A locals casino is a place that is not on the strip, that mm-hmm. caters to the people who live in Las Vegas and gamble.
Right. And how does that work? What's different about that besides the scale and scope?
At that time, it was mainly the fact that the convenience of getting in and out of mm-hmm. the casino, not having to go to the strip, looser slots,
mm-hmm.
and better value on your restaurants.
Because the locals know where to go.
Right.
Right.
Palms is the locals place.
You'd play blackjack with 3 decks instead of 28 decks.
That's one of the things.
That kind of thing. How do you loosen up a slot, by the way?
I was wondering that. I don't like tight slots.
Me neither.
We don't like tight slots.
How do you loosen? And then who dubs you the loosest slots in town? I would like to wear that crown one day, and I just don't know if it's in a fictional sanctioning body that decides you're the loosest slot in town or how that works.
There's the local paper, the Las Vegas Review Journal, does a survey.
Really? How much money is made versus how much is put into the slots?
They do a vote of the community. And we've, the Palms has won that every year since we've
Palms, been. Loosest slots in town. All right, I'll tell you, there's two things I'd like to accomplish before we leave this evening.
Okay.
I would like to be known as the guy who at least is friends with the guy who gets the crown of loosest slots in town. I think we've already done that.
It's done.
The second one I want to do is replace that guy at the Rosewood who holds up the giant lobster wearing the bow tie from the 80s.
That guy's gone.
Is he gone?
He's gone.
You're damn right he's gone. Because there's a new guy who's going to hold up that giant lobster for that picture, and it's going to be me. I've been staring at that guy's ass for 30 years. I don't like him. I don't know what happened to him. I don't want to know what happened to him. All I know is when people drive down the strip and they see a guy in a red bow tie holding a 40-pound lobster, that guy's going to be Adam Carolla. Can you make that happen?
I'm going to make that happen.
Because that guy, first off, he looks like a cross between Michael Buffer and Peter North. Have you seen that guy?
Yeah.
He gives me the creeps. Obviously, the shot was taken in the early 80s. He's clearly coked out of his mind. I don't know if he's a midget and it's a regular-sized lobster. I don't know how it works, but I want that gig. I've always wanted that gig.
It was a midget with the regular-sized lobster.
There's no way a lobster gets 4 feet long, right? And by the way, what a disappointment when you do go to the Rosewood and you order lobster and a little 9-inch, 4-ounce lobster shows up on your plate.
Served by a midget.
Little midget pulls up with a little langostino. Come on now, where's the 44-pounder I saw in the picture with the guy with the bow tie?
That's funny.
All right, could you get me that gig, Malou? Yeah,
absolutely.
All
we'll
right.
Do it here at the Palms.
All right, let's do it because that's all I want. That's my legacy. That's all I want to leave
that's
my kids.
That's not too much to ask. And we should mention that the aforementioned Sunset Tan is going to be at the Palms Place, which is your new building of condos
right.
opening.
Ooh. That opens next week. It's this big building right behind us.
Are condos sort of the luxury condos sort of, are? Is that the next big real estate trend out here in Las Vegas, if you could say there was a trend?
Well, I don't know if it's a trend, but we're opening next week, and we have a lot of interesting owners.
Mm-hmm. So. Drop a couple names. Pre-sold a few to who?
Well, Jessica Simpson.
Nice. So, what unit?
Shug Knight.
53rd floor.
Loosest slots in town, everybody.
That's what Tony Romo says.
All right, so you pre-sold to some folks that get out here. And just like any real estate, it's going to continue to go up through the roof. Now, do you set stuff aside for yourself when you do a venture like that? Like once in a while, a fighter will go place a bet on himself. You know what I mean? He knows he's going to win the fight. He knows he's been working hard. He knows what the odds are, and he'll go down to the sports book and he'll put $100,000 on himself. When the Maloofs open a condo, is the idea 100% occupancy, or is the idea, hey, we're going to set aside a floor for the Maloofs?
Well, actually, my brothers all have condos, so they're all purchasing. My brother-in-law's purchasing. So there's seven.
So you're
family members.
Essentially betting on yourselves.
Been doing that quite some time.
Yes, and quite successfully.
I'm trying.
All right, we'll take a break. You go find that Rosewood guy and
really
tell him his days are numbered. George Maloof, everybody. The Palms, what can you say? Give him a hand.
Thank you.
We'll take ourselves a break. Now, who's up next? NASCAR driver Robbie Gordon from the Palms in Vegas. Adam Carolla Show. Robbie Gordon next.
And welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, live from Las Vegas at the Palms Hotel. Special thanks to Jim Beam, the spirit of racing. And now the driver of the number 7 Jim Beam car, Robbie Gordon, is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, good to see you, Robbie Gordon. Robbie, let me ask you first. I was just, first question that hopped to my mind is I was watching a little NASCAR on Speed, and I noticed that Toyota's now in the game, and then I looked up at the tote board, and I think Toyota came in like first and second in one of the races this week or last week or something like that. This is interesting. Is this a predicament, or how does NASCAR feel about a Japanese car, essentially manufacturer in NASCAR?
Well, I think, they haven't won yet in Nexstar Cup. What you saw is I think they won the Busch race last weekend at Fontana. So, they've got some very good drivers, obviously. Denny Hamlin, Tony Stewart, and Kyle Busch are all joined over to the Toyota group with Gibbs. So they got a good team. You probably remember them from, the days at Long Beach Grand Prix and stuff like that.
Sure.
Didn't you drive one of their cars?
I drove in the Long Beach Grand Prix for the celebrity race in probably 2003, 2004, and I got to say, what a rush. I understand why people want to get into driving. I mean, you want to talk about just an adrenaline. I mean, I was doing 10 laps around the track in a souped-up Celica with Josh Brolin, and I was going out of my mind. I can only imagine how you guys feel at 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, I used to have a lot of fun there at Long Beach, running the Indy cars there and stuff like that. So I remember you doing that race, so I knew you had a little bit of racing, a little bit of background.
Little bit. But not Paris to Dakar, by the way, which I'm looking at down on my cheat sheet here. You raced in that probably the biggest rally internationally in the world, right?
Yeah, it's probably, here in our country, obviously, NASCAR is the premier sporting event. Over in Europe, it probably goes Formula One. Well, it either goes soccer, Formula One, and then their rally racing over there is very big. So we run United States Hummer, their racing program for them. And we actually were out running today. We started over in Gene, and we worked our way over to Dumont and back.
Well, they have the Mint 400 or something like that around somewhere in these parts, right?
Yeah, we used to run the Mint 400. I actually raced that back in early 80s. Did the Mint 400 a few times, won it a couple times. There's a lot of off-road racing in this area, but nothing like they do over there in the Dakar Rally. This year's rally got canceled because of terrorists.
Sure.
A terrorist threat, but they've rescheduled it, and we are going to Budapest, Hungary, on April 19th, just about a month and a half.
Well, can I ask you, Europe versus the United States? And by the way, the Paris to Dakar rally is 16 days or 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what's the difference between a rally and a race? Should I know?
Well, it would be like 16 races in a row, after day after day. And at that race, it's run by the same sanctioning body that does the Tour de France, the ASO, and they try to make the teams fail.
Oh.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, Robbie's Hummer actually tested positive for steroids. They pulled the transmission plug and they tested it.
It was dirty.
And it was a dirty test.
It's very dirty, and they're not going to like it this year because it's very fast.
The difference between, I would say, a race and a rally is usually the rally starts in one place and ends in another location versus going in a circle on a track. But there could be no greater chasm between types of racing than doing NASCAR racing and doing rally racing, or especially Paris to Dakar, because these guys are essentially driving these Jeeps and sports cars and whatever at 100 miles an hour through the desert. And then the craziest, it's the Baja 1000 in Europe, but bigger. But then the craziest of all are the guys on the motorcycles who are averaging 95 miles an hour, right?
Well, it's a very dangerous event. Not only because of being in Africa, but you know, you asked how I like racing over there. Every time I come back from the Dakar Rally, it's like, I don't mind paying my taxes anymore.
Yeah.
We live in a beautiful country.
That's right.
We live in a great place, and when you go do races like that, and you go through some of these villages that they don't have running water, they don't have anything, it's a great reminder.
I hope you drop off some Jim Beam there, you know, just to spread, because you drive the Jim Beam car.
Yeah. I do drive the Jim Beam car, and we do pass the love around a little bit because they need it. But on the other side, you know, you talked about my car being on steroids. It's juiced up with Monster pretty good.
Really? We're talking about the Hummer.
The Hummer.
And for you, given your choice, with all the different forms of racing you've done, you like to just mix it up? Is there one you like over another, or is there something you haven't done? Do you want to try F1? Do you want to get on bikes? Is there some form of two- or four-wheel motoring you haven't done that you want to try?
Paris-Dakar Rally! I heard someone yell in the back, Paris-Dakar Rally, but you know, I probably missed my Formula One opportunities, and I was always, not to make excuses, but up until just recently, I started averaging the driver and the weight in the Formula One cars. It only happened about 4 or 5 years ago. And back before, all the Formula One drivers were like jockeys, and I weigh 200 pounds, so you pay a pretty big disadvantage. And we paid that through most of our IndyCar career, where the stock cars, at 3,400 pounds, if a driver weighs a little bit more, it's just not that big of a deal.
Right. What people don't realize is they have Mercedes AMGs with 600 horsepower, and then they have a little Lotus Esprit or Elise or Elite or whatever, and they're the same 0 to 60, even though the Lotus has 250 horsepower and the Mercedes has 600. Why? The Mercedes weighs 2,000 pounds more.
Right.
Weight mammoth. T,
yes.
Wasn't I making this argument to what's-her-name in that celebrity go-kart race?
Yes, you were. Oh, who was she? Brian knows.
Damn.
She's a sports reporter.
Thank you.
Guerrero? No.
I'll figure. Her name will come to me, but Robbie Gordon is here. He knows racing. They do these celebrity go-kart races, and they put you in these things, and they had about 20 celebrities at the Super Bowl. And I won, and the chick who wins every year won, and then it was between the two of us to see who won the grand prize. And I got her out of the hole shot, and I was leading her for the first, like, three laps or something, but she kept bumping me. Leanne Tweeden.
Leanne Tweeden.
Yeah. And she kept bumping me, and then eventually she just got around me, and then once she got around me, she was gone. And she never stopped rubbing it in my face.
She gloats a lot.
And I say, listen, honey, you're 130 pounds, I'm 200 pounds. My go-kart weighs 70 pounds more than yours, and they have 8 horsepower. If I put a 70-pound sack in your go-kart, I would kick your ass on this cart. She's like, quit making excuses. So I said to her, I'll bet you $10,000. We take your go-kart, we put a 55-pound sack of concrete on the floor, and we'll race around this track, and we'll see who wins. And that was a little go-kart with no horsepower. But yes, F1, the cars are so light, you carrying around an extra 50, 70 pounds over one of those European jockeys over there makes a big difference, especially on the windy course, yes?
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, in road racing here with our stock cars, you know, we can set the pace. And over there, I'm you know, back in IndyCars, we won races driving IndyCars before, so I'm confident with the right opportunity we could have won in Formula One, but I'm too old for that now.
Right. And stock cars you can do for quite some time, right? I mean, it's not a kind of sport where, hey, you turn 40, you got to hang up the Simpson race shoes. I don't know who the oldest guy who's currently racing right now is, but, I mean, guys like Richard Petty did it for a long time. I mean, you could do this into your early 60s, could you not?
Well, you can, but I don't think you can be competitive. I think stock car racing has changed in the last 10 years. It's becoming a young man's sport as well, just because of the pace that you have to run. Mm-hmm. It's the most competitive form of motorsport that I've ever competed in. You know, when you go to the racetrack every weekend and your life is decided by fractions of a tenth.
Right.
And 3/10 of a second is the whole field. It's very competitive.
Robbie, do you know Elio Castroneves?
I do know Elio. I hear he can dance.
Oh, it's all I hear all day, too. That's not how Elio did it. Elio used to do it this way.
Well, he's, you know, one of those jockeys. You know, he's one of those jockeys.
That's what I told her. She's dancing with a lawn jockey. I'm a man. I have feet. They take up space. Once in a while, they land on your feet. That's the way we do it here in America. Plus, he has a cultural advantage. He's from Spain.
Right. He should be able to do some of the Latin dances.
They grow up drinking wine and dancing when they're like prenatal, and they're dancing in their mom's wombs. Yeah, what size is Elio? He's a buck 25, right?
He's 135 soaking wet for sure.
Right. So he's one of these guys that can go F1 because he's got the extra, or he's missing the extra unsprung weight.
Well, it's not just the weight. It's where you carry the weight as well.
Right.
You know,
I carry it my hips.
Well, if you get to add it to your car,
right,
then obviously your hips aren't a big deal because mm-hmm. that's probably the lowest part of the race car. But up in your shoulders and upper body, if you're heavier up there, then that's more roll in the car that it puts by having that weight up high.
By the way, I've been drinking George Maloof's Miller Lite for like the last 20 minutes, and I thought about it, and I thought, yeah, I don't know if I want Maloof's cooties, and then I thought, couldn't hurt.
Does it taste a little like money?
Yeah, it tastes like nickel.
Top notes of nickel and dime.
Yeah, I don't know which one's mine, so I'm going to drink the Maloof one. Listen, so what's the worst that happens? I get herpes from the Maloofs, and I sue them, and I owe the casino.
Worst things have happened.
I'm sorry.
And it's Happy's, by the way.
Happy's. Robbie Gordon, I'm sorry. Oh, one more time, not to put too fine a point on it, but now in Formula One, they even the weight of the cars out. They weigh the driver, and then they weigh the car, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, after listening to you talk for a while, you're hung up
for a while.
On,
I really am.
On Leanne
Beaton. You tell that tweeting bitch.
I'm glad you let this go.
Yeah, I know.
Well, when was this?
It
was run race.
It was a celebrity go-kart race. Well, here's the thing that happened, as I had to point out to the crowd. There were 20 celebrities in the race, right? It came down to me and her for first and second. She beat me. And then when I was leaving, all the guys were making fun of me. Hey, chick just beat you. And I was like, hey, bozo, she beat all your asses before she got to beat me. At least I was the last ass she beat. All right. Robbie Gordon, everybody, let's give a plug. Las Vegas Motor Speedway this Saturday, March 2nd, 3:30 in the p.m., driving the Dodge, the number 7 Jim Beam Mobile. Good times. We'll be watching, and we'll be praying for victory. Good seeing you, Rob.
It's good seeing you, too, Adam. It's great being on your show.
All right. We'll take a quick break. T.
Yes?
The news. What's coming up in it?
I'm going to do a lot of stupid but very, very titillating news stories, and I think because I'm classy and because my mom's here, I'm going to start drinking out of the bottle.
All right. Get sloppy drunk. You drink your medicine. We'll take a break. We're here at the Palms, and we'll be back with more of the Adam Carolla Show now.
Live from Las Vegas for Miller Lite's Rockin' Racing Weekend. And now, to Sammy Davis Jr., to Adam's Frank Sinatra, Wayne Brady, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you, Wayne Brady. Sorry.
Sammy Davis Jr. Wow, that's nice.
Thought we were going to do some news, but Wayne popped in. But Wayne, I'll tell you what, because Wayne has a hard out, because Wayne is going to be performing tonight. Yes, Wayne?
Yes, sir. I've got a show over at the Venetian called Making... Well, I can't say.
You can't say.
We'll fix it in post.
No, mm-hmm. I mean, I can...
Oh, it's Making S Up?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you make S Up?
Yes, I do, nightly.
And that has to be better than remembering S.
I know, but there's nobody more incredible at making S up than Wayne Brady.
Well, all men are good at making S up.
I would argue that not only does Wayne Brady have an advantage in making S up because he's fast on his feet and has a good comedic brain, but has the added advantage of being able to sing and do so many voices? So that then makes him sort of a triple threat in making S up. I have a fast making S up brain.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But I don't do the voices and I don't do the singing, thus not the triple threat.
It's all fear. It all comes from fear that if I don't make S up correctly, then I'll lose my house. See how it works? It's all word.
I wish you would do a song about that.
Well, I will at 9 o'clock tonight over the Venetian.
Now, how about you make with the news, T, and then we'll make some S up, do your news.
Can do.
Teresa Strasser, everybody. Oh, did I screw that up?
Let's try it again.
All right, let's try this live, everybody, here at the beautiful Palms. Teresa Strasser in the news.
Teresa Strasser.
That is a beautiful woman.
Thank you. Anyway.
Today.
Yes, it is.
This headline brought to you by our content partners at MSN.com. A small town mayor in Oregon was fired after pictures of her in lingerie wound up on MySpace. Carmen Contour Granquist is a 42-year-old. She's been the mayor of Arlington, Oregon for the last 3 years. But her run as mayor ended this week when the city recalled Carmen over some naughty pictures she took that made their way onto the web. Before she became mayor, she took some pictures of herself in some sexy lingerie on an Arlington fire truck. She says she took the pictures for a fitness magazine contest. She's in very good shape, I should add.
Let me just jump in and say this. The firemen started this with all their hunky calendars. You know what I mean?
Those are for charity.
Listen, why don't they sell crack cocaine for charity while they're at it?
Well, they do the lottery for charity.
The charity doesn't make it, right? I want these guys putting out fires, not like working out and shaving their chest and then leaning up against Dalmatians and taking pictures with hoses between their legs. They started it. The fire truck has now just simply become a stripper pole.
Yeah,
that's
it's
all,
more of
nothing
a backdrop.
More, a four-wheel stripper pole with a ladder and an axe on it.
Well, one of Carmen's relatives created a MySpace page for her. She's a single mom, and her relative thought the page might help her meet some new people, so she put the pictures of Carmen in the lingerie on the fire truck. Some uptight Arlington citizens found out about the pictures and demanded that she be recalled as mayor. They did not like to see their mayor with pictures like that on the net. And on Monday, the city voted 142 to 139 to fire her as mayor. She was very diplomatic about the whole thing, saying, quote, "The democratic process took place, and that is a good process that we have in the United States, and it's fair." She's taken down her MySpace page, but now she doesn't have a job, so she's selling the pictures on eBay.
Here comes Crazy Horse.
I've seen the pictures. She looks fine. It's not, they're tasteful.
Well, you can see more about this because ABC is doing an in-depth story tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the mayor. Now, here's the story. Yes,
there will not be a time in the future where there's not a picture of somebody doing something that was taken from somebody's cell phone and put up on the web.
Absolutely.
At some point, right?
Absolutely. Especially now in this age of technology.
Right.
Folks in the bathroom taking pictures of people peeing. I mean,
right.
That's what I do.
Pretty soon they'll have a cell phone where the guy who calls you gets to take a picture of you wherever you are. So if you answer when you're on the pot, that's the picture he's going to get. And then he throws it up on the web. And what are you going to do? Not run for Congress? Let's just get over it and move forward, shall we?
I agree. Now, here's a cautionary tale. If your girlfriend is way younger and hotter, if she stabs you, you still need to call the cops.
Oh, really?
A 72-year-old man from Denver learned that lesson the hard way after his girlfriend, 20-year-old Jennifer Stroth, stabbed him. Her boyfriend's 72. She stabbed him not once, but on two separate occasions. The first time she stabbed him was on February 1st.
To be fair, it does seem like old people are made of leather, and thus you can stab them, you know?
Yeah, it's they're asking for it in a way.
Just through the coarseness of their skin. They do seem durable. Like, I used to put cigarettes out on my grandfather,
right.
And he'd be like, "Hey, what the F?" And I'd be like, "Come on, you don't feel that, old saddle man." And he'd be like, "What are you talking about? Listen, saddlebags, I've seen you. Come on. Look at that." And I'd do that. He'd fall asleep on the sofa, and I'd put my initials in his thigh with a stiletto. He wouldn't even wake up.
Jennifer, 20 years old, and her boyfriend, 72, had a fight. She shanked him, and he decided not to call the cops.
What does she do for a living? She has to be a stripper.
She works with children. How dare you, Wayne Brady?
No, I know. I am so crass.
Undisclosed at this time. She's 20. Well, wow. Here's what happened. He decided not to call the cops, but it turns out that was a mistake. 2 weeks later, February 16th, Jennifer stabbed him again. This time, wow. He went to the hospital, and the cops arrested her the next day.
Well, as I always say, stab me once, shame on you. Stab me twice, get out of my condo, bitch. As my grandfather, right? Put my cigarettes out
yeah.
on
it. Yeah.
That's what he taught me. That's what he told me. Stab me once, T.
Shame on against mm-hmm. an at-risk victim
mm-hmm.
and menacing. I guess he's at risk because he's old.
Isn't everyone you stab considered an at-risk victim?
When the shank's in them, they suddenly seem vulnerable, don't they?
I would say everyone with lungs and a liver and lower intestine and a heartbeat would be considered an at-risk victim when you're stabbing them, yes?
I would agree, Wayne.
Fatty tissue, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, maybe rhinos don't fall into that category, but outside of that, I don't know who doesn't fall into the at-risk victim category. All right. Well, you're saying she's single?
Yes.
Because I'm looking for a trophy wife. She seems like she'd be great with my twins.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, she has an edge.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of literal, though.
A literal edge to her.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she's probably going to thank you. Mm-hmm. Be behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
That was a stink eye, in case you couldn't hear that at home
mm-hmm.
or in your car. On to television news. Now, Wayne Brady, you host Don't Forget the Lyrics.
Yes, on Fox.
Very popular
yes,
show.
Yes,
you guys like it?
Yeah.
Do you watch The Moment of Truth?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because train wreck.
Now, do you watch it really because it's one of those things where you can't not rubberneck as you're passing by the horrible accident on the interstate?
I watch it because it is a humongous train wreck. It's one of those, it's a high-class Jerry Springer, really, because
mm-hmm.
folks are telling the truth, they're airing their dirty laundry, and the horrible things are going to happen. So I'm just waiting for that thing.
I get uncomfortable with that, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I feel weird. Like, once in a while, someone will call me over to their computer, and I'm like, yeah, what do you got? And they're like, see these two guys kickboxing? And I'm like, yeah. One guy gets a compound fracture. Oh, there it is. And I'm like, oh, I didn't want to see that. You know, what I'm saying? Do you want to see that emotionally or physically? And let me ask you this, Wayne Brady, and everybody, really. Do you think there's a separation between the people who enjoy the emotional but not the physical? Meaning, are there people that would say, I love to see a guy squirm when his wife finds out he's been cheating on TV,
mm-hmm.
but if I opened my laptop and said, hey, I got a little something called two gals in a cup, he'd say, no, thank you, Bob Dixie. Do you know what I'm saying? Or is it the same guy who wants them both and then doesn't want them both?
I think we're all conflicted in that way. We don't want to see the guy run nut first. Can I say that on the radio?
Yes,
you can.
Run nut first into a car, but we also don't want to see someone cry because they've lost their whole family.
Right. But if you're the kind of guy that does want to see the guy go nut first into the car, do you want to then see the guy cry? Is it the same person?
I think it's the same
guy.
Person, but he's conflicted, so he lies to himself about it.
All right.
How do you categorize people who want to watch the sports injury that they play over and over? You know, the famous knee football injury. You know what I mean.
Theismann.
Right.
Right. Lawrence Taylor. LT's taking out Theismann's like tibia.
I cannot watch that.
I can't either. It hurts my teeth.
Well, this episode of The Moment of Truth will go down in history. Cringeworthy, but also sort of poignant in the end. There was a contestant named Lauren Clary. She admitted that she had been fired from a job for stealing money, would rather give food to a dog than a homeless person, knows things about her father that she keeps from her mother, and has avoided sex with her husband by pretending to be asleep. After that, she admitted that she has...
First off, that's never stopped me. To me,
pretending to be asleep.
If you're in my bed and you're dumb enough to fall asleep, it is game on, and that goes for my dog. That goes for my dog Molly too. She knows the rules.
Both Molly and Lynette sleep with one eye open.
Whoever, Ozzy, whoever,
warm body.
You show up, Wayne Brady. You show up my house. You're dumb enough to fall asleep on my comforter. It is on.
Done.
Well, it's on.
This contestant also admitted that she has taken off her wedding ring when out with friends.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know why that one smarts, but that one smarts.
That she cheated on her husband, that she was still in love with a former boyfriend on her wedding day. The former boyfriend was there.
Oh.
And that she thinks she should be married to that former boyfriend rather than her current husband.
Wow.
Now, this is the poignant part.
And that she stabbed her 70-year-old former boyfriend.
Because he was leathery and he was enticing.
Just to watch him bleed, right.
Okay, so now here's the poignant part. Uh-huh. I should say that since this happened, she and her husband are separated.
No.
So the moment of truth has broken up its first marriage. Yeah. And she did not win one thin dime.
Really?
Because she was asked a question that killed her. The question was, do you think you're a good person? She said yes, and that answer was not truthful.
Really?
So she doesn't think that she's a good person.
She doesn't like herself inside, and that's why she lost all the money and her husband.
Wow, how, like, poignant and poetic.
I thought so, too. I mean, if you were asked, do you like yourself, and you were hooked up to a polygraph, would you pass?
Yeah, I guess. Right, do I like Wayne?
Yeah.
Because that's a big thumbs up. Well, let me say this. Now, this is all a very bizarre realm we've entered into in our culture. Is there a person that hasn't said some horrible things about their best friend? Is there a person that hasn't thought about cheating on their wife?
I regret something I've said every single day.
Which?
Of my life.
Is,
I would say.
When Jack Silver said, sign here?
That.
What else?
That's the first thing.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, technically, have we ever been in a relationship where we haven't thought about stepping outside of the relationship? Not acted on it, per se, but thought about it. Or some of the
every day.
Right. Some of the worst things you've ever said in your life are about some of the people you love most in your life, right, Wayne?
Absolutely,
Brady?
Because it's the most honest thing, and there's a lie that's said every single day because you try to spare other people's feelings, and
right.
Then you feel bad about that horrible thing that you just thought, so I'm going to go ahead and lie about
right.
it. And in the perfect world, no one ever knows. It's not going to hurt anybody.
I know.
It doesn't
Watch.
Hurt you.
Teresa,
doesn't hurt
your hair looks awesome. See?
Yeah, good one. That's a good lie.
I know. That's her point. She doesn't know.
My hair does look pretty good tonight.
She doesn't.
I really put a lot of effort into
it. I just want you to
now
have another shot at Jim Beam and get sloppy drunk. That's all. I just want
to. Try to look pretty for you, Adam.
I just want her to get sloppy drunk. All right. What else is going on?
Well, the Moment of Truth host, Mark Wahlberg. Nice guy. Mm-hmm. Wayne, you probably worked with him along the road. No?
No, but I've seen him. A nice guy.
Well,
yeah,
he commented on what went down on the very historical episode of Moment of Truth.
As they're leaving the set, I walked over and I said, I'm so sorry to the husband. And I was saying, I'm so sorry that you had to be part of this. And his answer was, yeah, we were so close to that money. And that's when I said, okay,
wow.
This is a different value system than I have.
Right.
Yeah,
you have
upset.
A value system. He has no value system.
Thus, they're different.
Thus, the chasm in the value systems. But aren't you doing... Now, they're going to get a divorce?
They're separated.
Aren't, in a way, now, aren't you providing a service then? You're married to this witch. She's taken off her wedding ring. She's secretly in love with another guy.
But we don't know any of the crap that the guy does either. She
right.
does all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Right, I'm sure he's
maybe
a piece of junk.
Maybe he's a complete jackass himself. But he wasn't the one hooked up to the polygraph.
Right.
That's a good point, Wayne.
Thank you.
Now, Las Vegas is a city about tipping. It's all about tipping. My mom, who lives here, told me that people regularly tip the butcher at the grocery store.
Wow.
Old school Vegas locals,
but
you
not
tip everybody.
But in poker chips? Because I don't feel like that's good taste.
She does the poker chips.
Flip
so you're
Sam
supposed
the
to do.
Butcher like a $10 poker chip.
If you want a good cut, you might slip him $10.
Let me say something about tipping. I'll let you finish your story, but... I want to say to the partisan crowd here tonight, spread the word far and wide that Adam Carolla is a horrible tipper, because
that is not true.
But even if it's not true, I want people to think that, because I got in that argument with somebody. I used to work with a guy, Daniel Kellison. Wayne's probably met him a time or two. And he'd always go, hey, man, you're Adam Carolla. You're on MTV. You're on Comedy Central. You got to tip big. People start passing the word around that you're cheap and you're a bad tipper. And I said, I want that. And he said, why? And I said, well, Frank Sinatra had the reputation of being a huge tipper. And he's like, yeah, that's right. So when Frank Sinatra tipped the bellman or the bellhop or the door guy or whatever, and he gave him $10, the guy was disappointed, right? Because it's Sinatra.
Right.
Sinatra flips guys $100 like it's nothing, right? So once you get the it's like, I don't want a reputation as a great lover or a great tipper. I want the person to be pleasantly surprised when I'm done. Do you know what I'm saying?
Ooh, I'll be awake for this one.
I'm just saying.
You want expectations lowered.
Super right. low, and then if I can crack the 8-minute mark, so be it.
Is it easier when your wife's asleep?
It is certainly less of a struggle. and you know, easier emotionally on the kids and on Molly. But I want the word out that I'm a horrible tipper. Then when the guy, here's the deal. Guy drives Frank Sinatra to the airport. God rest his soul. Frank gives him $20. The guy's disappointed. Guy drives Adam Carolla to the airport. Adam Carolla gives him $20. The guy's elated. Same $20, right?
Right.
Word. Bad tipper. See what I'm saying? Everyone, spread it out. Bad tipper, bad lover.
You guys can
As a matter of fact, I'm going to combine them. Loves bad tipping.
Or gives a bad tip after loving?
Gives
a
bad love. Can't use the tip of his...
Okay. Well, in case you were wondering what appropriate tipping etiquette is from justaguything.com, you probably know that a 15% tip is standard for your waiter. Mm-hmm. If it's an expensive restaurant, you want to up that to 20 to 22%.
All right, but let me say this. You can't get technical with the 15 to 20%. You can't do that thing that the old people do where they go, well, let's see. I had the Denver omelet and a cup of coffee. That's $4.99. Sweetie, what's 15%? Oh, no. You can't leave 75 cents.
No,
leave
it's service-based. It's service-based. And that's what a lot of the folks here in Vegas are good at is actually good service. If you give horrible service, I'm leaving you 15 cents.
Really?
Fact of the matter is... because
motivate.
Because you have to work.
Right.
You have to work for it. That's your job, and no one made you come to work. And if it's a great job, then I will certainly tip my ass off.
So 15% for regular restaurants.
Right. 20 to 22% for nice restaurants. At a hotel, such as the Palms, you should tip the maid $5 a night. Sometimes I forget to tip the maid.
Yeah, I always do that. And then the other problem with tipping is... $20 is what comes out of the ATM.
Right.
And now 20 has become the standard currency of everything. And does this ever happen to you guys? The car pulls up in front of the hotel. You get out of the car, and some guy, before you can turn around, has ran around to the trunk of the car and grabbed your bag.
Right.
You didn't really want him to grab your bag, but he grabbed your bag, and he's dragging it into the hotel. And you open your wallet because you went by the ATM, and you have a bunch of 20s in there. But you think to yourself... that's all I got. Now, can I stiff the guy? He grabbed my bag. I didn't want him to grab my bag. On the other hand, really, I got to pay him $20 to drag that Samsonite 18 feet?
Tell him that you'll get him on the way back and make sure that same guy pulls up your car, opens it. So
get him on the way back.
Yes,
that's a Vegas
that's
move.
Nice.
I'll get you on the way back.
Smooth. Keith?
Yeah. Well, you're
I'm going to get you on the way back with my tip. Just the tip. That's all I ask.
You're blacked. Wait till I
drink
fall asleep.
Drink the Jim Beam. It's going to make that tip feel, sound. I mean, it seem so much easier.
Your blackjack dealer gets $5 per session.
Uh-huh.
A 10% side bet is a good tip for your craps dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Poker dealers get $5 a session. If you win big, you should tip up to $10. But I've seen people throw a $100 chip.
Oh,
in
yeah.
So you tip even if you lose? Because I don't gamble much, so I don't know. So you
what
tip
about losing?
Even if you lose.
I know. I don't know. I don't know what the etiquette is. I would think you would tip even if you lose and tip bigger if you win.
Here's the thing. You tip... the guys who win big tip big, and that will make up for the guys that are losing.
Because you
if you're winning a couple of grand, you're not going to flip somebody $5.
Right.
And if you're losing, you're not going to tip at all, but the guy who's winning big is going to flip them $10 chip, $20, $50 chip.
Now, according to this website, you tip your drink waitress a dollar. I thought it had gone up to two.
Mm.
Wayne, do you tip two or one?
No, you tip depending on the service. It's that thing. The thing of it.
Now we talking about the free.
Friendly,
yeah, we talking about the free drink.
Right.
Here's what's happened to me. You guys tell me if you've done this. There's nothing more pathetic than this. You order your ass sits down at the blackjack table and you go, all right, let's see. I got $100 here. Let's just cash this out. You're at the $10 table, let's say. You start playing a hand. You get one hand in, and the chick comes by, the one with the big cleavage but the wide ass. And
yes.
She says, what are you drinking, sweetie? And you go, hey, sweetie, how about you give me a Greyhound? And she goes, what's a Greyhound? And you go, it's vodka and cranberry. And she goes, all right, I'll be back in a minute, hon. I lose the $100. I lose the next eight hands in a row.
Right. Waiting for the free drink.
My drink has not arrived yet. Now I'm standing. It's the most pathetic stance ever. Just standing there behind the Asian guy who's taking your place.
And
for your free drink to come back because you just bought a $100 Greyhound.
What is it about free food and free booze that is so irresistible, even if you could afford it? So
I believe it's a jinx to order the free drink.
You're going to start losing, and then you're going to have to sit there and wait till you get that free drink.
Then you do that move, and then there's the only more pathetic move than waiting for the free drink to come around after you've crapped out is trying to get one of your buddies who's on a roll to go with you to the strip club because you're out of dough and you're ready to see some ass.
Oh,
that one's tough
move.
Because he doesn't talk to you. He doesn't turn his head. He doesn't have a normal conversation with you. He just stands there. He looks at his cards the whole time and you give him that. So what do you think? Cash out? We head over to the experiment rhino? Not now, dude. You're jinxing me. Then you end up staying around for a while and you go, my free drink came like 20 minutes ago. Then you start working that stupid plan that's never going to work. I'm going to hop in a cab. I'm going to meet you in the champagne room in, let's say, an hour. Well, not if I'm winning. All right, if you're still winning, okay. Okay, if I meet a chick, okay. Let's just dig a hole in the desert is basically what it turns out to be. I don't know what the etiquette is, but I say when one guy craps out, the other guy has to play out his hand and go to strip club with him. What do you think, Wayne Brady?
Well, that's what you
take
would do
your money
if
and buy the loser a lap dance.
If you're a friend, that's what you do.
Right.
If you're a friend. If you're not a friend, make him go to bed. Put him to bed like a child.
All right.
Yes.
And drink his free water down cocktail.
We just invented new etiquette. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news sponsored by MSN.com.
Done deal.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
Wayne Brady is here in Las Vegas. Wayne is going to be live at the Venetian Hotel. That is five nights a week, Thursday through Monday. I guess that is five nights, 9 p.m. right here in Las Vegas. Wayne, can you hang out with us for one more quick break?
I'm gonna check and see if
he's
I can.
He's got a show to do.
By the way, you could see
Wayne's show 5-10 times, and it would never be the same show.
No, it's a different show every single night. And because it's called Make Him S Up, and so that's what I do. The whole thing's made up, except the last part.
I'll tell you what, Wayne, if you're here when we get back, as your people would say, mazel tov.
Right.
Yes.
And if not,
King of the Jews.
For hanging out with us. We're here in Vegas.
Well, he is your Sammy Davis.
We're here at the Ponds. We'll take a quick break. Be right back, hopefully, with Wayne Brady now.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, live from the Palms in Las Vegas. Special thanks to Jim Beam, the spirit of racing. And now please welcome the deaf frat guy, Maverick, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good times. Wayne Brady had to skedaddle off to his live show.
He's got to make us up.
That's right. He's got to make time up. That's all right. We have Maverick, the deaf frat guy, who's sat in here with us. Good to see you, Mav.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but should have everlasting life.
Wow.
That's beautiful. Is that a biblical verse?
Yeah, I was going to even make a joke about it, say it was from Adam 4:20.
Right, right.
Not appropriate.
But the point is, Mav, first off, you look different. You're wearing a tie. You're wearing a blazer. I don't see your beer bong keychain on you anymore. Where what's going on?
Well, frankly, I lost my taste for strong drink.
Really? How did that happen? Drinking is your life.
What?
It used to be my life I was given a gift that no alcohol, no buzz can give you. And it's something called the gift of eternal life.
Did you find Jesus?
Yes, I did.
Maverick.
I did.
I became a born-again Christian.
I found God, or became a born-again Christian when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior.
What precipitated this?
I was at the, it's actually something that you and Mike and Jack Silver were saying about how I needed to get my act together. The writing was on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I was wasted. I was doing things that make me me sick to my stomach, make me want to puke.
Well, you puked back then, too, when you were doing it. I mean, you were funneling beers,
and you
right?
had that catchphrase.
Let ye without fault cast the first stone.
All right, Jesus said that.
Oh, wait a second.
Jesus did say
that. But didn't he used to... I mean, you're saying is, if you're not... wasted the day is.
Yeah, that was your saying.
I used to get wasted. I used to do funnels, six beer, seven beer funnels. But I'll tell you this. Once you welcome Christ into your life, that is like doing a six beer funnel, a kick your ass bong hit, and getting a $90 BJ all at once.
I see.
Wait a second.
Your soul is drunk with love for God.
Yeah, I used to have, you know what? In fact, and people are like, oh yeah, Maverick, like now you're like not the deaf frat guy or whatever. You're just a born again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you know what?
Yeah.
I was up in the hotel room. I had a foursome.
What?
Yeah. It was really hot. Yeah. Me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost, yeah.
Foursome.
It was awesome.
How about Maverick?
That's called masturbating, by the way.
Maverick, how about the golden rule? Jim Beam is golden,
not,
and it rules.
I shall not commit the sin of owning. Nor shall I commit the sin of self-abuse.
You know, onanism is a synonym for masturbation.
Really?
That's where it comes from.
I do own my own junk, I'll tell you that right now. Either hand. Hey, Mav, look, I don't know if I like the new Maverick. T, let's convene for a second.
Yeah.
The old Mav, you know, who
he'd be drunk by now.
Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue.
But I mean, the guy who had the beer bong on his keychain.
Yeah, I miss that guy a little bit.
And what about Smitty and Chugley?
And also,
and
does
Mike
he,
F.
Does he hear God when God speaks to him because he's deaf?
Very interesting point. Maybe God uses a kettle drum.
I think God signs.
I'm so grateful and humble right now.
All right. So you're filled with, and then what about your old cronies? I mean, you're going to be
Smitty and Ashley.
Mike F. And
if
Ashley, the one who shaved downstairs.
What
I'm saying is, are you going to still be able to hang out with those people?
We all have tribulations in this life.
Yeah.
Right.
And in everlasting life. But this, this book here has the answers. If, like, I'm going, like, which Ashley should I be with? The one who is at tri-downs or the one who is shaved down below?
Right.
You look up, and here, guidance in time of decision is James 1:5, or even Proverbs 3. Look, my pastor,
right,
Dustin.
Dustin?
He's a pastor. And
he's one of those cool pastors, right? Young.
No, I don't like the one who wants to be your friend. I like the scary one who molests you.
No,
I miss that guy.
Dustin was a really good rock musician.
Oh, that guy.
I
hate that Christian rocker guy. He just, you know those guys, you know what they want to do? They want to play their guitar in front of a group of 30 people, but no club will have them. So they end up preaching to their flock, and every 10 minutes they're pulling out a guitar and boring everybody.
Let us pray.
Oh, no,
Josh,
I'm not praying.
I assume that now that you're a religious man that you're going to abstain from premarital sex.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? People are like, dude, how are you going to get through this semester with your, you know, compared to, you know, like, now I look at these skanks with their mark of the beast and the stamp of the tramp.
You mean the tattoo?
They make me... I saw the girl tonight, and she looked like... maybe it was the mark of the beast in her, but it looked like Gwyneth Paltrow with Down syndrome.
Oh, really?
Oh, Maverick, that's...
Well, now, we have some...
I know that they are...
There are ladies here who dance for a living, you understand? And later on, we're
dancing
going...
Dancing is a sin. I mean, you saw the movie Footloose.
Yeah, that's true. It leads to fornication.
You can't base your theology on Kevin Bacon movies. How many times do I have to say that?
Dude. You all remember, anyone here that remembers, when you were a freshman, you were pledging, you got shoved into the sauna...
Right.
And you had to drink all in the bucket of beer.
Right.
It was hot in there.
Right.
Real hot. You wanted to get out, but you were...
Are you saying...
Having to... Imagine something twice or three times as hot. That's hell.
So you're saying hell is worse than the sauna you got shoved into when you're pledging your freshman year?
Yes. Yeah, it's a million times hotter or whatever, and you're going to be there for, like... Imagine, like, the most boring...
Now, hold on. Do you think these people are going to hell just because they like to have a libation or head over to the Spearmint Rhino with me and watch a couple of gals, you know, wax the pole a little bit? Do you really think that's a sin? Do you think we're bound for hell? I mean, purgatory, maybe, but hell?
He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed.
Wow, I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow because now that I know that hell is like an eternal hazing, it's very scary.
It's like Smitty and Chugley locked you into a sauna and never let you out.
Yeah, that's hell.
You know what I always like? I like those 70s movies where they would lock one of Charlie's Angels into the sauna.
Yeah, there's always Cheryl
Tubbs. And then they would turn it up. But they would turn it past 110 degrees. They'd turn it to 700 degrees, and there'd be like a skull and crossbones on it. And I thought, as a sauna manufacturer, wouldn't there be a certain liability in creating a product where you could actually cook a human being?
Hey, Bert, I want to talk to you about your sauna.
Yeah, I got a sauna. Hey, look, I know it's going to add about $50,000 to the price of every unit, and I know the human body can only tolerate temperatures up to 114 degrees. I say our sauna goes up to 700 degrees.
I mean, a body will incinerate it at least 500.
Don't argue with me.
It's needlessly elaborate.
I not only want that, but I want that weird kind of latch, too, that you can lock from the outside.
But what's the point? People will die.
Don't argue with me. I want to be known as the sauna manufacturer that makes saunas that can cook a turkey in 20 minutes.
Well, at least
get to work.
At least put a skull and crossbones on it so people will.
That's
how they'll know. It's deadly.
Later on, I want you to get to work on a freezer that has that door that locks from the outside so the Brady kids will never get out.
Can I have an Eskimo with a skull and crossbones?
That's right.
I got concerned about something Maverick said earlier, that he's back in school. I mean, this has been now 8, 7 years at USC.
Call security on your passionate
ass. I mean, is that
ass.
How Jesus would handle himself?
No, but look, I'm sorry. I forgive me.
Okay.
All right.
I have one more thing that I have to get off my chest.
Okay.
They said that you need to come clean with all your prior transgressions.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
There was a young lady I was with, and we were fornicating.
Uh-huh.
And I said I was finished. I was finishing, but I wasn't. I just wanted to get out of there. So I poured a bunch of hot and said, you know, I was like, I love you and see you later.
And no.
Just those are the things that are going to burn in hell. But there is a certain gentleman named Jesus Christ will die for my sins.
Yeah.
Right.
And all I have to do is to take...
I'm not sure if he died for that one.
The yogurt sin?
Yeah, I don't know if he died for the yogurt spill. I don't know if he died for the cleanup aisle tramp stamp
sin. He's trying to confess to you, Adam, for God's sake.
All right, you've opened your heart and your urethra. Mav, I'll tell you what. I'm going to let you grab your Bible and spread the good news in amongst the crowd here.
And the Tannen.
Can I just hold on? Let us. If you will not let me pray, heathens, let me.
The crowd is turning on you, Maverick. They're booing you.
There was no answer that cannot be found in this book.
Look.
I have any question, like what would I do if the gypsies would rob me again? You open the book, and the answer is there. And David said, what have I do with you, the sons of Zariah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel?
All right. Listen, man.
It's all there.
I hope you've come back to the dark side.
Have fun in the sauna. Heathens, because you are going down. How are you going to beat the heat?
Mav, come on, you're killing everyone's buzz. Come on now.
When you are getting that fifth or seventh lap dance tonight, how are you going to beat the heat?
All right, listen, we're going to Spearman Rhino. I'll see you guys in hell. Mav, you go up to the room to
hell
pray with the Holy Trinity. T?
Yep.
We're going to do a little Vegas version of gay walking.
Oh, great.
I believe, I don't even know how it worked. I think Bordop Bill went and hit the streets.
I believe he did, and I believe they're all Vegas-themed questions that perhaps gay people wouldn't know.
Interesting. All right. Gay walking next. Vegas version of gay walking. Me, Bald Brian, and T will be playing. We will be playing for three of you out there, and you could possibly win tickets to go see the Mighty Mighty Bosstones tomorrow night, I do believe. Quick break. Back from the Palms in Vegas next.
To the Adam Carolla Show, live from the Palms Hotel and Resort in Las Vegas, for Miller Lite's Rockin' Racing Weekend. We sent pre-op board op Bill out on the streets of Boys Town, West Hollywood, to see what the gays know about Sin City. So let's find out on a special Vegas round of gay walking on the Adam Carolla Show.
Alrighty then. Sorry, sweet cheeks. T?
Yeah?
You ready to go, Bald Brian?
Yeah.
Ready to go? All right. Zach, Maggie, and Vaughn are all out in the audience. Ah, there they are. Good to see you guys. Very diverse group we have here at the Palms Casino.
Yeah, white,
hotel.
White, and slightly less white.
Yes, that's what... No, but we have three very distinctive types of white.
Yeah, what are they?
Well, what we have over here is like if this was paint, we'd have a Swiss coffee white.
Yes, absolutely.
A Navajo white, yeah. And a Mustang white.
Right.
Yes, hello.
Very different.
Graham.
We have white, but a lot of range. I got to say, one thing I give Whitey credit for, a lot of range. We have a cute chick in the middle. We have a guy to the right that looks,
Graham Wellington.
He's the kind of guy who would go back to the liquor store he stole a piece of gum from in 1971 and apologize and give him a nickel because it's been eating at his conscience the whole time.
Yeah, he probably has a nice 401k. He's got the Dockers.
Right, right. Now, what is that you, Zach?
Yeah, that's me.
Zach, are we right? Are you a good guy or are you one of these guys that's in a rough trade?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Are you a good guy? Are you?
He can't hear us because he doesn't have headphones. But Chaffee, you can relay the message.
Yeah,
I'm taking.
Yeah, I'm a good guy. I'm all right.
That's a stupid question, by the way. Maggie is cute. She's in the middle. She's 20 something. She has normally short hair, not great on chicks, but seems to work on Maggie. And then there's Vaughn, who. I'm not so sure Vaughn is white.
I don't
what
think
are
so.
You, Vaughn?
He's a light.
Oh, what say you, Fish Tank?
Yeah.
He's a Boston's fan.
He's a Boston's fan. All right. We have Boston's tickets to give away. They're going to be playing tomorrow night.
At the Pearl here at the Palms.
At the Pearl at the Palms. And by the way, as far as the Boston's go, everybody, Dickie, great guy. There's another guy in the band who all he does is dance. That's all his job is to do, is to dance from one side of the stage to the next side of the stage and then back again. That's all he does. He doesn't write songs. He doesn't play an instrument. He doesn't sing. He doesn't even play that hollowed out fish or the tambourine. He just dances. So, big horns, Dickie, and a guy dancing. Fun show. Boston's are one of those bands that even if you've never heard of them and you don't know one Boston's song, you'll still have a hell of a time. So we're going to give away a couple of tickets here. Who are we playing for? You want to play for Zach? I'll play for Maggie. And Bald Brian, you play for Vaughn?
Let's do it.
Let's do it that way. All right. Gay Walking, Vegas edition. This is Board Op, Pre-Op, Board Op Bill, hitting the streets of West L.A., asking the gays Vegas questions, number one.
We got your favorite intro.
Gay Walking. Gay. Bill wants to know if you know. I should know you're homosexuals. It's time for gay walking, cause you are gay.
Wait for the end. All right, first question. Here we go. Possible Boston tickets on the line.
What did Evel Knievel jump over at Caesar's Palace?
What did he jump over at Caesar's Palace?
I'm going to say that this gay does not know.
On one hand, nobody knows fountains like gays.
There's that.
I feel like, you know, as far as fountain trivia goes, you know, three coins in the fountain, songs like
right.
that, I feel like the gays do know their fountains. On the other hand, I don't think they know this one either. I say no. T says no. Bald Brian, how say you?
Vaughn, if it's okay with you, there's no way he knows this. I'm going to say no.
All three say no on this one. Answer, please.
What did Evel Knievel jump over at Caesar's Palace?
Helicopter? Helicopter.
I'll tell you. You really can. You can set your watch on the gays. You really can. They're that consistent.
Sometimes they surprise you.
Once in a while, but I hate that. All right. Tied up. Everyone's one for one. Here we go.
The AVN Awards are held in Vegas. What does AVN stand for?
AVN Awards in Vegas.
You know what's
tricky? Are those the porn awards?
Yeah, I know that it's adult video. I don't know what the N is.
Mm. It's news. Adult video news. It's I mean, I don't know what an AVN stands for.
Wow, that came to you very quickly.
All right, so there's no way he's going to get the news part of the, even if he gets the adult video part. On the other hand, who knows porn like the gays?
I'm going to say no. He does not know.
Does not know. Bald Brian?
I don't know, but I think the AVN has a gay offshoot, like a gay sister publication. So I'm going to say does know AVN.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he does know.
Uh-huh. So you say there's a honcho section of the AVN Awards.
No, I don't say. I'm guessing.
You say you've manned the glory hole at the booth many years. All right. So you think does know.
Yes, he will know.
But what if he doesn't get the word news? That's fine for you. All right.
Yeah.
I say doesn't. T say doesn't. Paul Bryan says does. Does he know?
The AVN Awards are held in Vegas. What does AVN stand for?
Adult Video News.
Wow. Brian. Well done.
Damn you gays.
I am the smartest man alive.
Well, you know the gays.
You know, just when you think you've made friends with the gays, just when you think you've stuck your hand out, let them sniff it, and you made pals. Pound! They stab you in the back.
It's so upsetting that not all gays are exactly the same.
I know.
How are we supposed to understand our world when we can't just group people together and assume what they're like?
And it's such a slippery slope because then next thing you know, there's subtle differences between Asians and blacks and Hispanics, and now I have to go home and think.
We can't allow that.
No, we cannot. All right. Well, now that we've been stabbed in the back by the gays, T, I guarantee
not the first time for Brian.
First time. Will not be the last. Paul Bryan goes 2-0, 1-1 for T and the Ace Man. Let's see if we can get back into this game. Here we go.
Which fictional Vegas icon was shot in the eye in The Godfather?
Brian, what say you?
Oh, I'm going first?
Yes.
There's no way he knows. Absolutely not. It's Mo Green, by the way.
Yeah, that sounds tough. T, what do you think?
There's no way he knows.
I thought about the AVN Awards, too, though. The gays love their cinema.
That's a good point.
Mm.
Well, Zach, are you okay with doesn't know?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going doesn't know. Three doesn't knows on that one.
Which fictional Vegas icon was shot in the eye in The Godfather?
Elvis?
There we go. Now I'm back with the gays.
Fictional.
Bald Brian 3-0. And by the way, I was hanging out with Priscilla Presley earlier today.
How does she look at him?
She looks like Elvis humped her one too many times.
Recently.
No, she's a 63-year-old woman. She looks pretty damn good for 60-something years old. I mean, she had a pretty nice genetic hand dealt to her. If you take a look at her way back in the 60s and everything, I mean, she's pretty damn spectacular. But it was weird. We were in the dressing room. Oh, by the way, we don't want to talk about gay walking. Try hitting the dressing room over at Dancing with the Stars. Good gravy. It is, it's like a cabaret over there. I mean, I've never seen so much gay in my entire life. And I'm back there, and they're like sewing sequins onto bras. They sew every suit custom. They make every outfit custom. They just literally just take your measurements and make it. Priscilla Presley's in the dressing room like she's behind the curtain. And I'm wondering, A, if I can get a shot of her, and then B, I look down on the table, and I see a whole plate of cut-up bananas. And I wonder if Elvis got
her
Priscilla
on the bananas.
On the bananas.
He famously ate the peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
Got her hooked on the banana. All right. So,
have you had any fittings yet for your first?
Yes, I had a fitting.
Will there be sequins?
No.
What do you think?
I'll tell you the thing about this.
I'm hoping. Listen, Brian, I'm grabbing onto Adam's coattails, and sequins give me traction.
I tried on my, Spaniard outfit, by the way, which is super frilly and super tight. Well, you need your Spanish. You evidently have, like, a ballroom dancing outfit, and then you have, like, your Spaniard outfit as well. And that's super tight everything. And
Bolero?
I don't even know where to begin. Listen, I'm going to throw up. Let's keep going. 2-1 for us. Bald Brian has run the table.
So far.
Not in life.
Oh, come on.
But in fictional games, sure, he's doing fine. Here we go. Next
Finish
question.
The phrase. The blank rhino.
He knows.
Now,
I'd say he knows.
Now, the spearmint rhino, obviously.
But he might pull a choke, like hung like a...
Well, what if he says the white rhino or something like that? Not acceptable. It's all Vegas. All right. All right, Bald Brian, you're in the lead, so thus you go first.
Oh, great. He definitely knows there's a spearmint rhino in L.A.
Does know. T.
I say does not. I mean, does know.
You say does. I'm going to say doesn't, Maggie, because I'm going to try to get us back into this ball game.
I agree.
I'm putting, you know what I'm doing here? Putting the chips. I'm letting it ride. I'm pushing it out there.
Yeah, all Vegas, do it.
If we win this hand, we're back in first place. Yeah. If we lose, well, what the hell are we doing in this town anyway? All right, here we go. Blank Rhino. T and Bald Brian say yes. I say no. For my share of first place, answer please.
Finish this phrase. The blank rhino.
Purple rhino.
Yes! Thank you, Gaze. Thank you, Gaze.
Maggie looks thrilled. Woo! Awesome.
Yeah. You like the Boston's, do you?
Yeah, I love the Boston's.
You do. Where are you from?
I'm from Las Vegas. I'm a local forever.
Good times.
Woo!
Skin. Wow. I thought everyone who was born here looked like they were in their 80s by the time they were 30 from all the secondhand smoke and sun. Oh, you don't have to answer.
She's not at all leathery. You don't want to put your cigarette out on her like
your
grandfather.
Maggie's 2 years old.
Oh, okay. You know, between the booze, the secondhand smoke, and the sun, you are prematurely aged when you move out here full time.
Absolutely. And they ask that you get highlights in your hair at age 3 here.
Right. Sure. You got to track the fellas on the strip. All right. So now... Bald Brian, 3-1?
Yep, last one here.
Last one, going for broke. T, I believe you're out of this competition.
Sorry, Zach.
Last question. We'll go opposite. Here we go.
What color is the zero on a roulette wheel?
What color is the zero? Now, it would either be black or white. Is that true?
Or could it be red?
Or is there a red? Oh, the red. Oh, it would be red.
All wrong. It's green.
It's green.
Black and red are the colors 1 through 36, but zero and double zero are
boring.
Both green.
Nerding.
All right.
I'm going to say no then. Bald Brian, you seem to know this, which is amazing.
He was playing roulette last night.
Oh, okay.
I'm up $300.
I don't play roulette. All right. I say doesn't know. Bald Brian, you seem to know. Do you think he'll know?
I'll go opposite of you. I'll say he does know for two reasons. For one reason. There's only so many colors. It's like a 1 out of 5 chance.
All right. Very bold. So, I say doesn't know. You say does know. This is for Maggie and Vaughn and tickets to see my good friends, the Mighty Mighty Boston's. And I do believe Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman will be there as well. Although you'll get nowhere near
those. You'll be nowhere
near those. All right, here we go. Answer, please.
What color is the zero on a roulette wheel? Black.
It's totally black. Yes. Yes, Maggie.
Congratulations.
I see Sarah Silverman.
Wow. We pulled that one out. We really pulled that one out.
Nice job, Adam.
All right. Well, there you go. When I have nothing at stake, I do well. That's how my life works.
Favorite outro?
Yes, please.
Gay walking, because you are gay.
And Maggie, how about a little something for the effort, huh, sweetie?
Right?
You know what I mean?
Boston's tickets ain't free.
Yeah, it's a pretty stressful gig up here. How about you just come up? How about a little back rub? Perhaps just a little rub. You know, my trapezoids are getting very sore from dancing. Yeah.
She's got the blue nail polish, and I think that means she swings.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm going to a strip club after this, so, you know. You do massage for a living?
Oh, she's a massage therapist.
Great. Well, keep it going.
They have those in Vegas?
What's the longest massage you've ever given?
2 hours.
2 hours? Let's beat that record, sweetie. Wow. And I don't want that novelty massage. I want a real massage.
Deep tissue, Maggie.
I want a very deep, personal, intimate massage. I'll tell you when we're done.
I'm sorry, Maggie.
Bobby Slayton, by the way, who's signed. Well, now, come on. Sweetie, I won you tickets to the Boston's. Come on, let's get busy. Let's make and be. And by the way, you know, don't do that crap. You know the massage, they always go, oh, you have your stress. It's all in your neck. Yeah, no, it's in my cuticles, bitch. Yes, where do you think I keep it? What do I think? I keep it in another pair of pants that's in the back of another car? Or is it in one of my fillings? You're one of these people that keeps all your stress around your shoulders. No, I keep mine. I keep mine in my feet. I keep in the sole of my right foot.
Right to the Achilles.
My right nostril. That's where I hide my stress.
Not the left.
please. All right, you're going to keep with the massaging? Bobby Slayton, I passed 35 billboards of Bobby Slayton.
I know.
I thought by the time I got to Vegas, I thought we were dating. There he is.
I'm a
Bobby
huge fan.
Slayton, comedian Bobby Slayton on the show next. We'll take a quick break back in Vegas with Bobby Slayton and keep going with the massage. We'll be back.
And welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, live from Las Vegas for Miller Lite's Rockin' Racing Weekend. Please welcome the pit bull of comedy, Bobby Slayton,
oh
on the
my
Adam
God.
Carolla Show.
What a pleasure it is to be here, Adam. I got to tell you something.
Yes, Bobby.
You know what's great? Now, you don't come to Vegas very often, do you?
Three times a year.
Okay, I've been here at Hooters Casino for 8 months now. They just picked up my contract for another year. My marriage has never been better. We're talking about, I'm married. How long have you been married?
6 years.
Okay, I'm married for 20 years. With a wind chill factor, it's like 100. It's enough for it.
It feels like 100.
Believe me, it feels like 100.
Well, why not count them like dog years? You know what I mean?
Oh,
your dog's not actually 77 years old.
Right.
Your dog's 10 years old.
Yeah, but the dog feels like 77.
Right, that's my point.
Now, you're married. But how long does it feel like you're married? Now, do you have kids?
You know the thing, here's what it feels. Here's what my marriage feels like, and I do have kids, but my marriage feels like, you know when they talk to guys who explore caves underwater,
right,
and they say they got disoriented,
right,
and they couldn't tell what was up and what was down? It was too dark, and they couldn't see which way the bubbles were going,
right,
and then eventually they just scratched with their diver's knife, I love you, before they ran out of oxygen.
Right.
That's what I feel like. I feel like I'm trapped in a cave, and I'm not sure which way the surface is.
And you know what? You can't explain that to somebody that's not married.
Thank you.
Okay, like when people come to my show,
that's
and they're
beautiful.
Either newlyweds, or they're about to get married, which is a big mistake.
Teresa is
that.
A newlywed.
The world's,
just got engaged.
Yeah, I see that. The world's smallest handcuff. I got one, too. It's brutal. And you know what? And they say married men live longer. It just seems longer.
That's
I can't
right.
wait. My father had Alzheimer's disease, didn't recognize my mother. To me, that's a new woman every night. To me, to not recognize my wife, I can't wait to get that. And Parkinson's disease, where my head's shaking up and down.
Yeah.
So she thinks I'm listening to her. I'm watching TV, and everybody's happy.
Well, the Alzheimer's would be nice if it set in when your wife was 30 as opposed to 130.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Now, my wife's 54, and she's menopausal. You know what that means?
Hot flashes.
And not just hot flashes, but to say this on radio, make it radio friendly, it's like trying to have sex with a wooden birdhouse. I say, honey, maybe you need like a weed whacker and some Jiffy Lube and then bring me in to finish a job. Now, here's the thing. I get a teenage daughter and a menopausal wife.
Essentially, it's less a vagina and more sand trap.
Exactly.
At this point.
And now that I have a teenage daughter, you know, one's getting breasts, one's getting whiskers, my life is over.
Right.
I'm afraid to open up the bedroom door and peel back the covers and see what kind of monster is emerging from the depths of hell today. Because you know what? I'll tell you right, women don't stop changing. Whether you're having your period and you're nuts, whether you're menopausal and you're nuts, whether you're pregnant and you're nuts, whether you drown your kids because you've got postpartum depression, you have these built-in insanity defense clauses. You kill your husband, you drown your kids, you go on Oprah and get a book deal. I'm just a lunatic. I'm just a nut. I just go to jail.
By the way, can I just make this observation? I don't know that there's any reason to have George Maloof and Bobby Slayton on the same show because
same
they are absolutely the same human being.
I'm not sure what that means. You have to explain that to me.
George
it's
Maloof,
a compliment
a little
to you.
Bit laconic.
He has a laid-back approach to radio.
Really?
Let's just
people,
put it that way.
People mix me up with Wayne Brady a lot.
Oh, really?
Did Wayne Brady bring any gifts for the audience? Did Wayne Brady bring Hooters T-shirts?
Wow.
No. Did Wayne Brady bring tickets to the show?
You brought
Wayne
tickets
Brady bring
to the show?
Bobby Slayton's new CD? No.
Happy pandering.
Yeah.
Now, Bobby, you said that Vegas has improved your marriage.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Let me tell you why it's improved my marriage. I'm here at Hooters Casino every Wednesday through Sunday. Here's what happens. I get the first flight back Monday morning. My wife's got a store in Santa Monica. So when I get home, I don't see her. She comes over for dinner about 6, 7 o'clock. We have dinner. You know how women are when they have a couple glasses of wine.
Right.
By 9 o'clock, she's out. I go downstairs to my office. I play my drums. I watch porno. I come back up at 11. I go to bed. Tuesday morning, I wake up. She's at the store. Tuesday, same scenario. Wednesday, back in Vegas. It couldn't be better.
Now, when you say watch porno and play your drums, is it play your drums a euphemism for something else, or do you actually
hit the skins?
I actually hit the skins. It's my foreplay. It's my warming up for sex.
I understand. Yeah, I've always had this horrible sort of defeatist thought about relationships, and tell me what you think of this, Bobby.
Right.
And Teresa, you as well. But I always believe every relationship is good for a certain amount of days. It's hard to argue with that. Every relationship you've ever had in your life, you could put a number to it. whether it was your first sweetheart in the fifth grade,
right,
or a very serious guy or girl you knew in college, or somebody you dated and were engaged to or even married to.
Right.
Every single relationship you've ever had in your life could be assigned a number. Maybe it's 18 days, maybe it's 2,000 days, but either way, it's a number. Why use them all up in a row? Why not use one, take a couple off, spread it out? You know what I mean?
See,
like you're on an island with a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter, and you got to make it last the year.
See,
don't make a triple decker sandwich every breakfast.
See,
spread
that,
it out.
See, what she doesn't understand, that's a great thought. See, what you don't understand, you're getting married.
Yeah.
And you probably didn't tell this to your fiancé. What, your boyfriend?
He's your fiancé, yeah.
Your fiancé, whatever, the plaintiff, the defendant. It all comes full circle. It makes no difference. But what happens when you get married, women don't tell you this before you marry them, that marriage is a job. They tell you afterwards that you have to work on it. Now, if I knew I had to work on this, I'm not sure I would have taken this job where there's no benefits, and the more time you put in, there's no vacation.
That's a good point.
And then all you have to do is look at other women. I'm not saying cheat.
Right.
But you look at other women, and they get their panties in a bunch, and they get mad at you and go, honey, I'm just thinking about a second job. I am trying to keep this family together.
No 401k, nothing. No
holidays off.
No OT.
See,
no golden time unless you're into that thing.
See,
right,
that's why, and let me make this again radio friendly. That's why women do now how would you say that for radio?
Oral, let's say.
See, women do that before they marry you, and then it disappears afterwards, and I'll tell you why.
Mm.
It's a lot like these casinos that have, buffets. They're called the lost leader.
Yeah,
right.
They lure you in.
They lure
lost
you in,
leader,
and then
right,
they get all your money. It's the same thing with women. They oral, you get married, they get all your stuff. It's the exact same thing.
It's the 99-cent strip cocktail of sex.
You're making me
you
hot,
in,
baby.
And you see, it doesn't bother you because you're on the good side of all of this.
Uh-huh.
You're on the receiving end. And you know what? And it's going to be amazing to me how long it's going to take before your husband says to you, before you say to him, like, did your wife ever say to you, you never talk to me? And maybe it's because I have nothing to say.
Well, I do get a lot of, you're not listening. I also get a lot of this, and let's be honest. I get a lot of, how come you never pay any attention to my friends, but with your friends, you're always, and I'm like, my friends are smart and funny and interesting, and your friends are your friends.
Yeah, yeah.
My friends are better friends.
Well, here's what's really funny. When I met my wife, my friends have become her friends. Her friends are still her friends. So everybody that comes to my house for Thanksgiving or Christmas or are friends now. I'll tell you a great one. One of my friends is a big porno star. My wife didn't know that when she met
porno
him.
Porno star?
Can you name names?
Well, yeah, Stephen St. Croix. You know the name?
Sure.
Okay. So my wife had no idea what he did. So for months, and he was Uncle Stevie to my daughter. My daughter's like 10 years old. It's Uncle Stevie, a great guy. Never said what he did because my wife and obviously my daughter's not into this. So when one of my wife's friends found out he was a porno star, it was okay. But when he brought up his porno star girlfriend and she gave me a hug, it wasn't okay.
Right.
It doesn't, it's
not a two-way porno street.
Exactly.
Although that would be a good name to live on.
Good street. And you know what? And being in Vegas, working at Hooters, I mean, I'm so horny with him. I feel like a Catholic priest at Toys R Us. I found that you go to the Spearmint Rhino after, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I told my wife I might stop by. See, even though I didn't cheat on my wife, she makes me feel guilty that I have a daughter every time I do something. What if your daughter worked at a strip club? I guess I'd get free drinks. It's always,
right,
you have to, I can't do anything if I watch porno. She found a magazine in my luggage, seriously, about a month ago called Barely Legal. And the chicks are plenty legal. I make no excuses and no apologies. So she finds this magazine.
Barely legal.
But they're plenty legal.
Well,
just don't, Adam, they just don't.
I know. I
it's
understand.
It's concerning, though, that would be your porn of choice.
But I know I have all kinds of points. She just happened to find that particular issue that particular day.
Right.
Okay, like one time. Anyway, so she finds it and says,
yeah,
look how young these girls are. You ever think about your daughter when you look at this crap? I said, no, I think about her friends. Don't qualify everything and bring my daughter.
Right.
You have to wreck every fantasy I have.
Yeah, it's not all barely legal in the suitcase. He
what
has
else?
Some
no.
Statutory rape illustrated.
No.
Underage and popping.
Yes means no. Weekly.
I look at the MILF stuff. I don't think about my wife. My wife and daughter have nothing to do with my fantasy world of sex.
By the way, look, I never did understand the MILF stuff. My feeling is porn is a young man's game and a young woman's game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see, I don't want to turn on the TV and say, these guys are the best professional football players over 60 years of age,
right,
that we have in the country. I don't want pretty good for a 51-year-old running back. I want the best we have to offer,
okay,
and that's a 24-year-old guy.
I see where you're going with that, but when I was a kid, I was a Yankee fan, and I remember going to old-timers' day and seeing Yogi Berra and Joe DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle play.
But they weren't nude.
Wait, you're telling me you're a New Yorker?
And the women aren't playing baseball. I mean, you can't make comparisons.
All right, hold on. We need to take ourselves a break. Bobby Slayton, by the way, and how about putting your hands together? The man burns calories in here.
I know.
Bobby Slayton, the pit bull of comedy, is here. He's going to be at the Hooters Casino
forever,
in Las Vegas forever.
Starting a riot over the free Hooters t-shirts.
He's at the Night Owl showroom. We'll take a quick break. We're out in Vegas. We're doing the show at the Palm. Quick break. Back with Bobby Slayton next.
And welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, live from the Palms Hotel and Resort in Las Vegas. Special thanks to Jim Beam, the spirit of racing. Now more with Bobby Slayton on the Adam Carolla Show.
Bobby Slayton's going to be at the Hooters Casino forever. They will bury him there.
You know what? And I'll tell you what's good about Hooters. There's no puppets in my show. There's no tigers. There's no kids. There's no magic. There's no Danny Gans. There's no ventriloquism. It's just me and my dirty jokes and my big mouth and Hooters and chicken wings.
And how does it work over there? You do a couple of months, they book you, and then they decide whether to pick up your contract for the rest of the year,
no,
or how's it work?
They book me for a year.
Right.
And you know, it's great. So it pays much more than the comedy club. They built a showroom for me. They took a martini bar, and they transformed it into a cool little showroom. It's great. So when I got the gig, of course, my wife goes, so let me get this straight. So you'll be living at Hooters 5 days out of the week. And, of course, I said to her, look, I was on the road playing crappy comedy clubs 4 days out of the week.
Right.
So now I've got one more day, and you can come to Vegas anytime. So, of course, she comes out to Vegas, and she realizes it's not such a bad place. She comes out 2 weeks ago for Valentine's Day, which didn't go that great. Since my wife doesn't really like Vegas, doesn't like Hooters, doesn't like gambling, doesn't really like me, does not make for the greatest Valentine's Day week.
Well, what happened?
Can I ask you, though, quickly?
Yeah.
Let me ask
quickly,
you.
Quickly, make it quick. We've got to keep moving.
Answer me an etiquette question, because I had the same thing happen with my wife this year, which is Valentine's Day fell on a Thursday. And
I think it was a Wednesday.
Or a Wednesday.
Thursday, because I got engaged that day.
Mr. Romantic knows. Anyway, the point is it falls on a Thursday. My wife and I decide a week in advance, wipe it off the calendar, bump it back to Friday, we'll get a sitter and we'll go out.
Right.
So Thursday comes and goes. My wife's giving me the stink eye the whole day. And I say, what's up your tuchus? And she says, it's Valentine's Day. And I said, yeah, we pushed it back till Friday. And she said, you're still supposed to. And I said, well, wait a minute. If you bump it a day, do you still half celebrate it on the day you were supposed to celebrate
token,
on?
Yes, a little token, something small,
but
gesture.
And then that much less on the next
you
day or the
it.
Same amount?
You can subtract
well,
it.
Well, you can't figure that math out. You know what I'm saying. Yeah. Once, as a guy, here's how guys think. If you said, look, we're going to play golf on Thursday, and then you picked up the phone and said, no, forget it, we'll show up, let's play golf on Friday. You wouldn't show up to the golf course on Thursday and pout.
Right, right.
Yeah, but all her friends are playing golf that day.
Screw them and their caddies. I'm saying we said Friday becomes Valentine's Day. Why are you pouting?
Well, first of all, what would have been the greatest idea, it's too late now, hindsight. Mm. It would have been great to have Valentine's Day on February 29th. That way you'll have to put up with the
leap
scrap.
Year.
Yeah,
every four years.
Right.
So my wife comes out for Valentine's Day,
right.
And she doesn't really care about this. We've married all these years. Doesn't really care about Valentine's Day. So I said, look, why don't you fly out anyway? I'm not Mr. Romance, but I said, we'll go out for a great dinner. You'll sit through my stupid show, and then afterwards, we'll do something. We'll go dancing or love sex or whatever. Neither of those things came to fruition. Whatever.
Right.
I was just kidding. So she flies out. I take her out for a nice dinner. She sees my show, and she says to me after, so I didn't even get a card? I go, well, first of all, you said you don't even care about Valentine's Day. The fact that I flew you out, took you out for dinner, was more than we even discussed, and now she wants a card. And now she mad I didn't get her anything. I said, I thought we discussed we're not going to get anything. So I said to her the next day, why don't we go to Victoria's Secret? I'll buy you sex anywhere. Even though I don't really care about this stuff, I'll take her there and I'll buy her something.
Right.
She likes that kind of stuff. Maybe you don't, I don't. I see my wife in sexy underwear. I go, okay, I'm horny. Now take it off. It doesn't
matter.
Right.
I'm with you.
I got in trouble for not getting Valentine's stuff for my kids.
Oh, really?
And Bobby, do you get something for your daughter?
Yeah, I said, how does that work?
No.
And how weird is that, by the way?
That's like Mother's Day. I don't buy my wife anything for Mother's Day. I did it when my daughter was little, but now that my daughter's 19 and she's got a job, she can buy something for my wife. So my wife says to me, well, you don't get me anything for Mother's Day. I go, well, you're not my mother, number one. And you tell me that all the time, that you're not picking up my underwear, I'm peeing on the toilet seat. What am I, your mother? Well, unless you act like my mother, you're not going to get a gift.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street here.
I really, and my family never got anyone anything for any holiday, so I have no idea what to do. I'm just blowing in the wind.
See,
I didn't know I was supposed to get my kids gifts for Valentine's Day.
Who told you that?
I don't know when all this crap began. I don't feel like it was around in the 50s. Was any of this
no.
around
in the 50s?
No. You know what it's like? What would happen in the 50s if you said, why didn't you get your kids? The guy take one hit off a high ball, and then he just backhand you, and that would be the end of that argument, right?
Right. It's like on Mad Men. Your wife would be in her apron making you dinner and handing you a gift.
Oh, it was
a
better time.
And I'll tell you something else. It is impossible to shop for women. See, when women say, you don't know what to get us, no, that's a bunch of crap. Go to Circuit City, go to Fry's, go to Best Buy, close your eyes and spin around. When you open your eyes, whatever you're looking at is fine.
We'll take it.
Yeah,
right.
My wife won't buy me that stuff. I need a new iPod. I need a new TiVo. Well, I don't know about electronics. I want to get you something you wouldn't buy yourself. Well, if I wouldn't buy it for myself, what do I want it for?
I know.
Why would I?
I'm going to fix you a dish you'd never eat.
Yeah, right.
I don't like that. I want something I do want. I know. I agree. And the other thing that I've said many times with women is it's not only what you get them, it's how hard it was for you to get them something. If I got my wife a gift and I said I just sent my assistant to go pick it up, then it wouldn't mean anything.
That's true.
If I struggled to get the gift, whereas guys, we don't care if it falls off a truck or you steal it from the retarded neighbor kid. It doesn't matter as long as we get our cordless drill or our iPod.
We score you on difficulty, like in diving.
Right.
You know what I bought my wife her wedding ring? I went to a jewelry store. I know nothing about wedding rings. You know, I try to Jew the guy down being a Jew, but
Bobby, I don't like that.
He's the Jew.
I'm a Jew.
He's allowed to say that.
All right.
It's like how blacks can say the N-word.
All right.
But, you know, see, that's, well, don't even get me started with that. But anyway, so a woman helped me pick it out at the jewelry store. So my wife got mad. A woman picked out her wedding ring. She seemed like a nice woman, an attractive woman. I thought she would know what you would like. Well, don't you know what I like? No. So now she's mad that another woman picked out a wedding ring. I took her to Victoria's Secret. She gets mad when this hot woman. You ever see the women that work there?
I just stand and stare through the window at the mall. I never go inside.
Well, I made the big mistake of taking my wife on Valentine's Day, the day after, to Victoria's Secret. So this hot piece of work, I mean, this beautiful Heidi Klum-like looking broad. My wife's standing there. She says to me, so what do you see your wife in? I said, a coffin. What are you doing, lady? Where's my rim shot? What kind of show is this?
Ryan, wake up.
Are you listening?
You didn't say shot, right? Yeah, well, here's the thing about Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret is going to be a disappointment because of the chicks they have on the window in front of Victoria's Secret.
And those chicks are airbrushed.
They don't even look that good.
Right.
But there's no way you're leaving with anything that looks near that.
That's the secret.
They don't even look
that
good.
That's the secret, how you get your fat ass to look like the chick in the picture.
Bobby.
That's Victoria's big secret that nobody can seem to crack.
Do you have anything positive to say about marriage to somebody who's just gotten engaged?
Yeah, my wife should be dead in 20 to 25 years because she's 54 and she's getting old.
And you'd like her to get the Parkinson's and the Alzheimer's.
No, anything positive to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, just stop talking. If you just stop talking. And you use your mouth for good instead of evil. Focus. You have a nice big mouth. If you use your powers for the good of mankind, I think that solves it all.
You have a mouth like a trout. You could really do some good with it.
I'm thinking more like a rattlesnake where it expands and you can swallow a whole, you know, elf.
this is class. I'm glad my mom is here.
I'd like to take a turn for the serious for a second and just figure out, is Bobby Slayton, you're booked at Hooters. You work 5 nights a week at Hooters. What is a normal day like? I mean, what's going on during the day? Are you putzing around the casino? Do you catch movies? Okay. Like, what do you do?
Here's what's great. I don't really go to strip clubs unless it's Spearmint Rhino. I must.
Thank you.
Right.
It's in my contract. I don't play golf. I don't gamble. You know what I do every day? And it's like the greatest
day. Now, what time do you get up?
I get up at 7, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. I can't sleep.
Right.
It's years of doing morning radio, traveling around the country, changing diapers.
Your clock's all screwed up.
Yeah, so I
get up. So you get up in the morning, and then what?
In the summer, I'm like a turtle. I'm like an old Jew. I sit on a log by the pool. I read magazines all day long. And there's a gym right there. So I work out for half an hour, pretend like I've accomplished something, go back to the pool. Now, in the wintertime, I just get up. I drive around, I go to the mall, I get a massage, I masturbate, then I start all over again, then I go to the indoor pool next door, I sneak into Mandalay Bay,
right.
I go see the shark exhibit. I'm like a little kid.
So essentially, what time do you have to show up for work?
What time is it now? Right now? Okay, I got to show up. What I usually do is I show up about, my show's at 9, I show up like 8:45, make sure everybody's getting their drinks, have a couple of cocktails myself.
Right.
Watch my opening video every night that Robin Williams did, Jay Leno, Don Rickles, the Smothered Brothers, Carrot Top, Lewis Black, and every comic, Bill Maher, made this great video for me. So I watch that for about 15 minutes.
Right.
And then I go on stage for 50 minutes, go back to my room, have a bottle of wine, and watch Letterman. It's the greatest life ever. And then my wife shows up once a month, and I forgot how great of a life I had before she showed up.
Whoa.
And it reminds me, and I start all over again.
What a schedule.
Imagine
that schedule.
Here at the Palms, I just ate a little Buddha. And since I don't gamble a lot, there's so many great restaurants here.
Right.
I just go out to eat every night.
Well, Vegas, if you don't gamble, I mean, if you don't lose money gambling, as we talked about before, things are lost leaders.
Right.
You know, everything is cheap, everything is easy, everything is accessible.
I love that feeling that I don't gamble, and so when I come to Vegas, I always feel like I'm beating the man.
Oh, well, right. You're getting married. You are gambling, and you are beating the man.
Yeah. The restaurants are great. They're cheap. The shopping's great and cheap. Everything is great and cheap, except for you just dropped $4,000 at the roulette table, so it's not so cheap. But if you don't do that, right, you can have a hell of a time. Bobby Slayton, everybody. Hey, put your hands together.
Thank you very much.
For Bobby Slayton.
Absolute Hooters. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Teresa. Good luck with that marriage. If you need any advice, come see me. I'll help you.
Wednesday through Sunday nights, 9 p.m. And catch him reading Us Magazine by the Palms Pool on any given weekday. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, This Week in Rage, I will stand up and go nuts on 5 topics. This Week in Rage, live here at the Palms Casino in Las Vegas on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas, thanks to Miller Lite. It's time to count down the top 5 things that pissed Adam off this week on This Week in Rage on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we'll do it live in front of the partisan crowd here at the Palms in beautiful Las Vegas. T?
I think this audience is really ready for some rage.
Well, I will. You can watch me close my eyes and see my face turn beet red here in person as we do This Week in Rage live and in person here at the Palms. Now, I'll give you a rundown of the topics.
As voted on AdamCarolla.com.
It's funny because whenever I see the topics, I'm always confused by them. Like, when was I talking about that? I don't remember talking about that. The bottom one, I definitely remember talking about. All right, first topic, the movie Diner. You know, I'm doing this Dancing with the Stars business with Steven Guttenberg.
The Goot, he calls himself.
The Goot, Steve Guttenberg, who was great in this movie. Barry Levinson, not a lot of people saw the movie, and I get angry when I recommend a movie and
it's
people don't see it.
It's a Shonda. That's what my people call it, a Shonda.
What's that mean?
A shame, a disgrace.
That's right, a Shonda. So it's either a disgrace or the name of a 15-year-old black chick?
That's exactly right.
Also, being too hypervigilant to meditate. I'd like to meditate, but I can't do it.
My head beepers.
Yeah, my head just starts just buzzing and it starts going different. Besides, I live in L.A. I mean, I would have to get in a diving bell and go to the bottom of the Marianas Trench to meditate. I can't do it in L.A.
You love the soft sounds of ranchero music playing.
Oh, the dulcet tones of ranchero music while I'm trying to get my hypervigilance on. Backup beepers, that drives me nuts. DJs who pretend they're poor, I'll explain that one. And parents who aren't ashamed of their narcissistic kids. All right, let's give it a shot. I've had a couple of Miller Lights, so forgive me if I drop an F-bomb or get a little sloppy. T, I need you to keep an eye on me.
I will. Are you guys ready for some rage?
Number 5, the movie Diner, never getting shown on cable, and to expand the topic, me recommending movies that you a-holes never see. I can't stand that, because I feel like, look, you don't have to be smart. You just have to be smart enough to listen to smart people. You can be dumb as a effing stump and listen to smart people and get all the benefits of being smart. It's like you've stolen their brain. Now I'm smart. Barry Levinson is smart. Mickey Rourke, well, he used to be smart. All right, maybe that was a bad example, but this was his first movie. And my new friend, the Goot, Steve Guttenberg, is in this movie. Daniel Stern and Ellen Barkin and many, many others. This is a fine, funny comedy. In a sea of good luck chucks and bad, warmed-over remakes, there is a shining beacon known as Diner. Yet, nobody has seen it. It doesn't get played on cable. And furthermore, nobody will listen to me when I tell them, go see this movie. And you want to know what is a super slap in the face? When not only do they not show that movie, but they show the bad sequel to it. For instance, I'll give you an example. What was that Steven Seagal movie, his first one, which was good?
Oh, Above the Law? Under Siege?
Under Siege. How gay of you to say Above the Law. Sorry. Under Siege 1, never on cable. That was a good movie. Under Siege 2, where it was essentially 5 guys on a train having gay sex for 2 hours. always played on cable.
I was just watching it in my hotel room.
Same with Mad Max. Mad Max on TV. Beyond Thunderdome on cable. But the best one, never, ever shown, and that is Road Warrior. Why people don't listen to me, why cable operators don't listen to me, I'll never know, but I'm moving forward in my life. Ah, my
Number four.
My hypervigilance. We spoke to Deepak Chopra, right?
Yeah, he told us we should all meditate and listen to ourselves.
I've tried meditating. My problem is my ears are so good, I don't listen to myself. I listen to the neighbor. And then I listen to the neighbor's gardener. And then I listen to his leaf blower. And then I listen to the backup beeper. And then I listen to the baby cry. My ears are too good. I hear too much. I can't block out the world. So every time I meditate, I sit there in the lotus position. And I take my palms and I turn them up toward the sun. And I start with my num-yo, reggae-kyo, or whatever. And then I hear a little nagging noise in the background. Sometimes it starts off small in the distance, but it grows. And then I fixate. And my brain takes a turn. And before, I was thinking about... I was thinking about George Harrison in a Nehru jacket.
Yeah.
Now I want to strangle the life out of my neighbor's gardener. Do you understand what that transition is like?
I do, and now that you've had a few Miller chills, what would you say to Deepak Chopra?
F you. I'm tired of you and your wisdom, your Indian wisdom. I don't care about my, I don't want my chakras aligned. I don't care what direction Mecca is. I don't care. I don't want my anything feng shui. How about you feng shui my junk? That's what I want. That's what I want, feng shui. Get my underpants and face my junk toward Mecca. That's what I have to say to Deepak. Here's what I say to Deepak. Forget about the meditation. Why meditate? How about you just pop yourself a Vicodin and wash it down with a little Jameson? And while you're at it, watch the original Under Siege. So instead of meditating, you pop a Vicodin, have a little Jameson, and watch Seagal at his prime. All right, what's next
backup
on here?
Beeper.
Number three.
Oh, the aforementioned backup beepers. Again, I know these things are put in place so retarded kids don't get ran over, but let's go ahead and explore that for just one second. Before we even get into the backup beeper, let's talk about the logic of keeping everybody alive so that they can breed and make more retarded kids. Look, I say if you decide it's a good idea to meditate behind a dump truck, I don't want your genes passed on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is what we used to have. It's called Darwinism. It's survival of the fittest. We don't have that anymore. But fine, your kid's playing behind a dump truck or steamroller or God knows what.
Steamroller.
Whatever. The point is Ozzy's goddamn Ford F-150 has a backup beeper in it now, and it wakes me up from my nap every time he backs down my driveway. Do we need a backup beeper for everything, and where does it end? Because it used to be just big commercial trucks had backup beepers. Now, Ozzy has a backup beeper in his Ford F-150. Soon, what's next? Tonka trucks? What's next? They'll just strap one onto my ass, and every time I take a back step, a honk will go off? What would be the harm in a handful of retarded kids getting flattened every year so they couldn't procreate? Number one. Number two, how many miles does this audible sound need to be heard from? Because I have heard, be honest, how many backup beeps have you heard from your goddamn living room? I have heard several hundred thousand backup beeps and been inside of buildings. I've been at work. I've been in my living room. I've been in my bed. Is there any chance you're going to get backed over when you're on the sofa? No! The goddamn range is too far for these things. It shouldn't be more than the truck could back over in, let's say, 2 days of driving. I've looked out the window and seen trucks 2 miles away that I had woken up from the backup beep. I'm saying we set a decibel level. That decibel level is that of an alarm clock. If you don't get the F out of the way after that, I'll see your flat ass in hell. All right. Thank you.
Now, Adam, you are literally a millionaire, but some radio personalities pretend that they're poor so they can be of the people.
Number two.
Yes. It happens on TV. It happens in radio. Look, people tell you this all the time. Once they find out you have money, they will hate you. I don't find that to be true, especially with the ladies, by the way.
They like you more.
Which is it? You see the short, fat, squatty guy with the bald spot dating a super hot stripper, it's because he's rich, right?
Hello.
All of a sudden, you do a little morning radio, you claim you're literally a millionaire and everyone hates you? Look, here's the deal. They pay you to do this job. They pay you well. And if anyone can do it better than me, step on up and start on up and you'll get paid the same. Oh, we got a drunk guy over here. Can't do it. Get over. What? You want to come over here?
Uh-oh.
Come over here. Come over here. Do it better than me and we will pay you. Until then, I'm allowed. Now, are you drunk,
Hi.
Sir?
Uh-oh. I'm going to say from the way he's walking that he's heavily intoxicated.
All right, now, no profanity. Go ahead.
Okay.
F and F.
Are you drunk, sir?
No,
really? Were you just waving?
No.
And by the way, when I'm in the middle of a rant, should you be flapping around like you're on a carrier deck?
Yes.
Do you realize what horrible etiquette that is? I'm on a rant. I'm trying to entertain and elevate the people's
maybe
knowledge.
Maybe he has something to say. The drunk guy.
Can you give me a second?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
Wait a minute. There's something he does.
Go ahead.
That's my second.
This is your moment.
That was my second.
That's it?
No. Actually, what I want
to
say is
nice
I was lucky enough for my buddy to take me here. He won a radio station program.
All right.
Adam, do you wish a backup?
By the way,
oh, you want me to rant?
Paid so much.
You want to hear something? Okay, here's a joke for you.
Uh-oh.
Chelsea Clinton was in the airport, and one of these guys came up, and she said, Were you scared over there?
Good.
She said, were you scared over there? And he said, yeah, scared of plenty of things. She said, what were you most scared of?
I said, good day.
She said,
a really long setup.
I'm scared of Osama, Obama, and your mama.
There we go.
Good stuff.
Now, do you understand why I get the big box, people? Thank you. That was an awesome point you helped me make.
It's nice to be by you.
Good to be by you.
He gave me his
well,
card earlier.
Friend.
His name's Greg.
Yeah.
I think you're done with that topic.
Number one. All right.
Point.
Number one. Parents who aren't ashamed of their little narcissistic kids. Now, I think this came up times too. Earlier this week, there was one kid who had a mohawk, and they were going to pull him out of school because he was distracting all the other kids because kids wanted to rub his lucky hawk and God knows what, and the parents are suing the school board. Then some other parent got all PO'd because the kid beat up another kid in the bus or started to push a bus driver when she was supposed to be on the cell phone, and she should have hung up the cell phone, but she couldn't do it, and mama got involved. I remember a time when we were not only scared of our parents, but scared of our friends' parents and scared of all adults. I swear to you, when I was a kid, be honest, when you were a kid and you were walking down the street and you threw a piece of gum on the sidewalk and an adult was past you and said, hey, pick that up, you would have jumped on the ground and picked it up, right?
Yes. Our parents took the side of the teacher.
Yes. When a teacher called our parents didn't yell at the teacher for disciplining our kids. Our parents yelled at their kids because the teacher must have had a reason to discipline them. I was not only scared of my parents, I was scared of other parents. I was scared of parents that were deceased and parents that hadn't been born. I was scared of everyone over 18 before the age of 13.
Grandpa Munster?
I miss it.
He smacked you?
He belted me in the face. Grandpa Al Munster smacked me in the face in the back of his Volvo wagon for cracking wise. And you know what? I deserved it.
We've all been there.
We've all been hit by a 60s sitcom celebrity. Look, the point is we are raising our kids in this kind of it's your world. We're just living in it. Here's a participation trophy for just showing up. Everyone's a winner. You don't listen to anyone. follow your dreams. Don't let anyone ever tell you you can't. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can't. Stop crapping out these narcissistic kids. I've had an ass full of them. And by the way, you then go back and watch your TiVo while you unleash your brood of a-holes on society. Please, everybody, go back to disciplining your kids and let the pros give them a backhand every once in a while. Thank you very much.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week, what an ass in rage.
Well, thank you. We're here at the Palms in Las Vegas. Tea.
Yes.
You've been sipping steadily off that Jim Beam bottle.
I'm
off
a third bottle of the way into the Jim Beam bottle.
Now, I know you're a Jameson's gal, but that Jim Beam is some pretty good booze there, is it
not? I'm really enjoying it.
Can I have a hit off that myself?
Yes, please do.
You know, and I'll tell you, one day I'm going to go ahead and make a list of things you can hit off of versus things that are okay to hit off of. You know what I mean? Like, if you're taking a swig off Everclear, it doesn't matter. You could be drinking a moccasin filled with Everclear, and I'd go, give me a hit off that. You could have, like, a herpes shanker on your lip, and I'd go, give me a hit off your moccasin, right?
Yeah, hypothetically.
Right. Whereas, like, what would be the bottom of the list? Like, smoothies?
Milk. Yeah.
Milk. I don't know why milk-based. I was going to say milkshakes, smoothies. Somehow milk is the worst thing to hit off
of. Seems infectious.
Yeah, it seems like something could be passed along. But the Jim Beam? Nothing passed along here. Wow. That's nummy.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have fun at the Spearman Rhino in like an hour. T-Bone.
Yep.
Why don't you give a quick tease for the news and we'll come back and do it.
I know you enjoy when I try to stumble through the news drunk.
Yes.
I think that's fun.
We all do like
that. I have enough trouble when I'm sober. We're going to talk about Simon Cowell and who he supports for president. And what Oscar winner has two men in her life, 168 and 129?
Answers to those questions and many others when we return to the Palms in Las Vegas.
Show live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. Special thanks to Jim Beam. Still coming up, Corolette. One spin of the roulette wheel, one lucky listener, and a $50,000 payoff. Let's get back to Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, thanks, kids. And, I want to thank all the dedicated listeners who've been hanging out here all night. You know, I assumed you'd come by, get a quick whiff of the show, and then head out to the buffet.
But, I'm really touched. We haven't lost anyone. There are hundreds of people here, the same as when we started.
Yes, which means either we're good or they have no life.
Or we've trapped them in.
All right, T-Bone, what's in the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
You will never believe who got an exclusive interview with Simon Cowell.
Terry Seymour.
Yes.
I know. This is what they do. It's like Charlie Sheen's girlfriend becomes an exclusive entertainment reporter for Entertainment Tonight so she can talk to Charlie Sheen.
Well, she's made a cottage industry of talking to Simon Cowell for Extra. And here Simon gives his opinion on the presidential race.
It's, to me, it's a bit like watching American Idol.
Sure.
You try, you get the votes. It's about charisma. I think he's fascinating.
What do you think of Obama?
I think he's terrific. He's like a pop star. You know, anyone who can draw 25,000 people to hear a speech about politics is a star. The guy's a star.
And what about Hillary?
I genuinely think she should cry more. And that's what happened before. She cried, she won.
Well, it's interesting. It's something we were talking about before. When she displays the characteristics of a male, guys don't like her, neither do women. And when she seems more vulnerable and more feminine, then people do like her. What a shock that Simon Cowell would weave in American Idol into his explanation.
I am flabbergasted. Is Terry Seymour sounding more and more like Danny Bonaducci? Or is it just me?
Well, I don't know if she's on the juice. She got her hair straightened out.
That helps.
All right.
You're right. When she displays her masculine qualities, people call her strident and cold and bitchy.
Right.
When she cries, everyone loves her.
Right. We're talking about Terry Seymour, or we're talking about Hillary Clinton. Yeah, cry it up. Everyone will love you.
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know this well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's another reason, ladies, that you should make sure and not have anyone take naked pictures of you. 36-year-old Karen Parker of England is a married mother of two, but that did not stop her from starting up an affair over the internet with a 48-year-old man, Stephen Hales. Karen and Stephen were flirting online, and even though the two had never met, they had a very intense relationship. She even sent him naked pictures of herself. But Stephen became jealous. He didn't trust that Karen was only cheating on her husband with him. So he hacked into her email account to learn the truth, and sure enough, Karen was in online relationships with several other guys. He got jealous and decided to forward the naked pictures of Karen to everyone in her address book, including her husband.
Oh, and I mean, everyone means everyone. I mean, that
everyone.
Means family.
Family,
friends,
your pastor, your doctor, your co-workers. Everyone, and he sent it from her email address. So her friends started calling and asking why they were receiving naked photos. She put it together. She called the cops. He pled guilty.
Nerds are the new terrorists. If
they
you
are.
Really think about it, I mean, do not F with a nerd. Do you know what I mean?
Nerd rage is a frightful
Hell
thing.
Hell hath no fury like a nerd scorn. If you really think about it, a nerd could do more damage to your life in this electronic world.
I'm explosive.
Yes.
They have the technology to shame you on such a huge scale.
Right. Back in the day, a nerd couldn't do anything. You know what he'd do? He'd go to your car and he'd break the antenna off it, and that would be about it. The big guy was the guy who punched you out, the guy who smacked your new boyfriend, all that kind of stuff. But a nerd can ruin your credit, can humiliate you. I mean, a nerd can really just... Do not F with a nerd anymore, ladies.
It's a great day for nerds.
Right, the nerd has turned.
That's right.
The meek have inherited the internet.
They have. Well said. This man pleaded guilty to the crime of indecent and grossly offensive images by public communication network.
And once you get all that crap out there, there's no getting it back.
No.
It's just out there.
That's right.
Right.
Her husband hasn't decided whether or not to stay with her.
I'd go with leave. And what about the other seven guys she was having an affair with? I mean, it's like, bad news and worse news. The guy your wife was having an affair with was upset because she found out about six other guys your wife was having an affair with. So she sent him pictures of her nude that she sent to him. That's grounds for divorce, I would say.
I would say so, too. Tilda Swinton, you may remember her from Michael Clayton. She's the redhead, won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress.
She looks like a Venetian statue.
Porcelain skin.
She just looks like something from 2,000 years ago, doesn't she?
Yeah, she really does.
And she dresses that way, too. I don't know what the hell she's... Look, I'm no Quimby, but I know a bad Oscar dress when I see one. And what happened to her is, you know what it looked like? It looked like she looked like a bull that got caught up in a cape.
Yeah, one sleeve was missing.
It was like somebody hung a curtain. It's like somebody got drunk at a cocktail party and fell through a curtain.
She has an avant-garde fashion sense.
Yeah, that's called no fashion sense.
It appears she's juggling two men who are 39 years apart in age.
Wow.
Tilda is 47. She lives with a Scottish artist named John Byrne. He's 68.
Oh.
They have twins like you, Adam, a boy and a girl.
Imagine the super highbrow, boring conversations they have about stuff that would make you want to puke.
Well, she was an avant-garde filmmaker before she was an actress, and he's an
those
artist.
Those two standing around, passing judgment on the rest of us. Those two artists. Yuck.
Some sources claim that they're actually married, but whether they are or not, they continue to cohabitate and raise
no
their
NASCAR,
twins.
No NASCAR, no Jim Beam, no Palms, no Casino, no Spearmint
Rhino. What
a
horrible picture you just painted.
They're all just sitting around with their brow raised, holding their brandy snifter, talking about your carbon footprint.
Just trying to freak each other out.
Yuck. Yeah.
Well, it appears that Tilda has a boyfriend.
His probably name... pitching movies like, I have an idea for a movie.
What?
Pray tell, this movie has no sound and no picture.
Yes, and we'll play it backwards.
We'll play it backwards.
Upside down.
And you'll never know where it starts and where it ends because there's no sound and there's no picture. It's called Zero.
Well, she lives with a guy who's 68.
Working title, Black Hole.
And now she's got a boyfriend. His name is Sandro Kopp.
Close your eyes. You've just seen it.
Wow.
Mind blown?
Yes.
Yes. Now let's go on talking about how ugly Americans are, please.
Freak out!
Her new boyfriend is a 29-year-old painter from New Zealand, and he was still this day to the
Oscar.
Not
a house painter, though.
Oh, no.
Not a real painter.
No, I think he's a fine artist from New Zealand. He went to the Oscars with Tilda. They've been together for about 3 years. Now, Byrne, the 68-year-old, is apparently cool with this. In fact, during an interview on Oscar night, Tilda Swinton said, quote, I think it's extraordinary that we're all really close friends.
Well, let me do the Byrne math for you. He's an avant-garde artist, 60-something years old, living God knows where. He is by on a good day. That's a good day for him. Do you understand?
Yeah.
By is a lofty goal for him. He wishes he was by.
He aspires to by.
He aspires to be by.
He's gay.
That's right. On his best day, if all 8 cylinders are firing and the stars align, he's by. He's by like Elton John was by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, back when he used to have to say
you were
like,
bi. Oh, man, wow, how evolved. He's gay. He doesn't care. I wouldn't care either if I was gay. Go ahead, have sex with all the 29-year-olds you want.
Well, she says the relationship is polyamorous, which would suggest that she's having sex with both the 68-year-old and the 29-year-old.
Right. All right.
Another Oscar story. Now, who can forget when Whoopi Goldberg went on The View, your favorite show?
Yeah.
And she was very emotional because the Oscars did a montage of great moments. They included many of the hosts. They excluded Whoopi Goldberg, who has hosted 4 times. By the way, Steve Martin also excluded. But you don't hear him crying.
I would like to respond to this news story, but my voice is hoarse from puking because Bald Brian reminded me that she won Best Supporting Actress for Ghost the same year Lorraine Bracco lost it for Goodfellas.
Yep.
And by the way, I don't know how you measure movies, but Goodfellas is like 300 Ghosts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And on the Oscar curve, Ghost represents the bottom of the curve.
If there was a Goodfellas, you know those, remember when you would rent videos and it came in that weird thick plastic thing that seemed like it was made out of ballistic plastic?
Yeah.
It would take 300 Ghosts to fill one Goodfellas, one of those plastic containers, yes?
Yes.
Yes, Ghost sucked and Goodfellas was great. Lorraine Bracco was great. And let's not forget what's-her-nose from the Grifters. Annette Bening. So she stole that Oscar.
Well, Whoopi Goldberg is now very magnanimous, and she's decided to forgive the producer of the Oscars, Gil Cates, for excluding her from the montage. Here she is discussing it on The View.
I need to mention that Gil Cates, the producer of the Academy Awards, called me yesterday and talked about the fact that he had made an oversight, pure and simple. He said, you know I love you. I asked you to do the very first one. I said, I know. He said, but I saw it was a mistake. I didn't catch it. And I love you. And I said,
not being
you.
In the montage of all the hosts.
Yeah. It wasn't so much the montage of it. It was the 80 years of Oscar.
Yeah, but
and
they
so
used all of the hosts
they
with
used
the
all the hosts. And so he apologized. And so, because I know him as a great gentleman, I accepted. And so we moved on from that.
Well, her and Kathleen Turner are both becoming men. At a certain point, a penis will be where the vagina was.
If you stuck a dipstick to test the estrogen on Whoopi Goldberg, are you coming up with any oil?
No.
That sounds like the worst.
It's like pulling
experiment.
A beach umbrella out of the sand. She's like, I call Gil Gates. Bill's a good friend of mine. So, Bill, hold on a second. Kathleen Turner. Kathleen, yeah. Whoopi, yeah. Yeah, what's up? Hey, sweetie, you're looking great. Did you lose weight? No, I didn't. What are you wearing? Who are you wearing? You're looking awesome, sweetie. I got to borrow those shoes. Are those clamp-on earrings? Anyway, we should go out and have a little girls' night out. Hey, Whoopi, you want to have a girls' night out? Yeah, okay. Why not? Girls' night out tonight, huh? How about it? We'll have some Manhattans, and we'll ring in the new year. How about it? Okay, fine. Maybe we'll get Tilda Swinton out here, too. She can bring her artist gay boyfriend with him. We'll have a three-way. Awesome. I don't know what's going on with women. I don't know. Maybe they need more Premarin in their life or something. I'm not sure what's missing, but there's some supplement that's missing that all these women are turning into men now, right?
And Whoopi Goldberg didn't start out as the most feminine of women.
No.
So she was already starting at half a man.
All right. Well, and as far as, by the way, something I meant to bring up and I had too many beers and forgot about it. There's been, it's been all the buzz on the unofficial Adam Carolla message board that me and Howard Stern are having some feud because of something that we talked about with Stuttering John on the show.
Oh, yeah, he called in.
Stuttering John called in a couple of weeks ago or a week or so ago on the show. Somehow Howard Stern got hold of it. What a shocker. They replayed it. He said some very unkind things about Stuttering John and possibly some unkind things about myself as well, according to the message board. It seemed like it was a big brouhaha and maybe much ado about nothing, but Stern seemed legitimately pissed. So just to put that rumor to bed, I called him yesterday.
You did?
Yes, I did.
And what did you say?
I left a message. I just get hold of
it. Do you just pray that he doesn't pick up so you can leave a voicemail?
Yeah, I did. And I just left a message. I said, Howard, I didn't hear your show, but I heard your panties were in a bunch, and I don't know what the problem is. I don't remember what I said, but I consider you a friend, and I hope you feel the same way about me. And I then left the house, and he called to go get spray painted orange, by the way, because
right,
we're doing Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And he called 10 minutes later and left a long-winded message saying, no, don't worry, buddy, we're still friends, had nothing to do with you, so on and so forth, and then suggested I should do Dancing with the Stars in a dress.
Have you considered that?
I gave it some thought, yes.
Not a bad idea.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that there's no feud, and I remember that conversation with Stuttering John.
This coming from the genius behind Fart Man. Sorry, go ahead.
I mean, I think he's been dating Tilda Swinton. That's how avant-garde his art is.
That's right. All right.
Now, you, speaking of Dancing with the Stars, you've had to be on sort of a strict diet, and a lot of people don't understand that beverages in their lives are very fattening.
No.
For example, if you go to Burger King and you get a chocolate ice cream shake, there's 950 calories in that shake. For the same calories, you could eat a double Whopper with cheese.
Wow.
What if you go to Jamba Juice and you want the peanut butter mood shake?
Peanut butter shake.
840 calories.
I got to say, it's my greatest lament in life. I would finish every single breakfast with a slab of pie, and every time I went to a burger joint, I would order a chocolate shake. That would be my ritual. There would be no such thing as going to In-N-Out Burger or Johnny Rocket. There'd be no burger joint run without a shake to wash it down. But yet, now, Diet
Turns
Pepsi.
Out it's 1,000 calories.
Yes.
Let's just say you go to 7-Eleven for a double gulp.
Mm-hmm.
800 calories. You're supposed to have about 2,000 a day.
That's
depending.
A 55-gallon drum of Mr. Pitt,
right,
though. I mean, to be fair.
Let's say you go to Starbucks and you want a white chocolate mocha frappuccino.
Mm-hmm.
410 calories.
Wow.
God, I hope this Jim Beam isn't fattening because I'm going to get huge.
Going right to your hips, baby.
Okay, last story.
And your head's going right to the toilet.
What's new about that? This story out of Des Moines. A judge has denied an Iowa man's claim that he should not have been fired for repeatedly asking the help at the casino to procure him a prostitute.
Really?
A 62-year-old man worked at the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort
mm-hmm.
in Riverside, Iowa,
mm-hmm.
and they gave him a gift to commemorate his year of working at the casino, a free night stay at the hotel. He ate, he drank, he returned to his room about midnight, and he later called the manager, and he said, hey, can you get me a prostitute? The managers refused, so he called an adjacent resort with the same request, and they refused. Now, he said in his testimony, the advertisement...
By the way, how does that work? Like, you know, whoever picks up the phone, you don't ask, right? I mean, you get the operator on the phone. Who do you ask for? The concierge? Wake-up call?
I would say the concierge if you need a whore.
Look at the hooker desk.
Yeah, I'm, well, hell, I'm loaded. I'm just looking at a fat one. I'm on the cheap here. So, you know, I'm looking at the $10 to $25 range. What do you got? Think hookers on the point.
This 62-year-old said in his testimony, quote, the advertisement is that it's just like Las Vegas, so I thought I was in Las Vegas. Well, now he's lost his unemployment benefits. Hotel workers were sent to Jorgensen's room, this 62-year-old man, to ask him to stop demanding prostitutes. When they arrived, he answered the door in the nude.
This sounds like a cultural thing. Is he from somewhere?
The man is living in Des Moines.
I'm going to go ahead and call that somewhere.
He was fired the day after he kept requesting prostitutes. And at the hearing, he said his actions did not hurt the casino. He'd received strong performance reviews, and he said, it's the restaurant's fault. They served him too much alcohol. I was absolutely plowed, he said.
I am so secretly jealous of these people because I'm the guy who, when the cashier hands me the wrong change, I'm too embarrassed to say they owe me an extra $10. The guys, you know what I mean? I'm the guy who, when someone calls me Alan, I don't want to correct them and say it's Adam. I would love to be the guy who just gets on the blower and calls himself up a prostitute and then calls a neighboring one. And then when he gets in trouble, gets sort of sanctimonious about it. Hey, this last time I checked, this is the United States of America. And if a super drunken guy with a crazy last name can't call over a couple of ladies to have sex with, well, then where the hell are we as a nation? I mean, I love this guy. In a way, I know he's dumb as a stump, but in a way, aren't we all secretly jealous of this guy?
I would like to have that sort of sense of entitlement.
Right. Don't you wish you could be the person who leaves the club, sees a long line at the valet, everyone waiting to get their car, and says, I'm in a rush, and walks to the front of it and doesn't care what anyone else thinks? Don't you wish you were that guy secretly?
Well, the judge was unimpressed with this guy, turned down his claim for unemployment benefits. He was fired. He gets nothing. I will leave you with this story. Earlier this week, we talked about the Black Crowes and their review from Maxim magazine.
That's right. Two and a half stars.
Two and a half out of five.
Never heard the music.
Had not heard it. Well, Maxim has apologized, but they directed the apology toward their readers, not the band. And the band's manager says that's not good enough. He says, quote, it comes as no surprise that Maxim has elected to apologize to their readers now that the world has been informed of their deception. However, that is not full accountability. The appropriate action from Maxim is to immediately issue a public apology to the Black Crowes for disparaging both the band and their soon-to-be-released new album, War Paint, without having heard the material.
Good time.
An addendum. The New York Post reports that Maxim is giving the upcoming Nas, that's his name, right?
Nas.
Which may or may not have the N-word in its title. They're giving it 2.5 stars, even though Nas has not even finished recording it.
Well, that seems better than, you know, my argument would be, look, we might hear your music, decide it sucked, and give you 0.5 star.
Take the 2.5 and be happy. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
I gotta say this.
Teresa Strasser.
I wish every goddamn teacher I ever had adopted this attitude that Maxim has.
Before they read your book report.
Before I even showed up a day in class. Corolla, you could get an A. You could get an F. How about we'll give you a C and we'll call it a day? I would have grabbed that C and ran. Do you hear me,
you see? And you don't mean C. Right. You don't mean the teacher's a C.
No.
You mean you take the C grade.
I would take the C and run.
Good Steve Miller Band album, Take the C and Run.
We'll take ourselves a break. Speaking of the C, we're in a casino here at the beautiful Palms Hotel and Casino. Somebody is going to get a chance to win $50,000. I'm guessing it's an outside chance, knowing our radio station, but we are going to pick the name. Someone's going to spin the roulette wheel and possibly win $50,000. We'll do it next from Vegas on the Adam Carolla Show.
Carolla Show live from the Palms Hotel in Las Vegas. Special thanks to Miller Lite. Right now on the show, it's Carollette. One spin of the roulette wheel, one lucky listener, and a $50,000 payoff. Here we go with Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
You know, Dawson, I miss the old live shows we do where you'd get heated somewhere at the end of the show.
Right.
You'd be like, hey, dudes, welcome back to the Black Crowes Rule! They rock!
Do you want me to do that, Ish?
Yeah. Okay. I miss the just plowed, stoned, high as a kite, drunk as a skunk, Dawson, that used to progressively go throughout the show. Remember, by the end of the show, we'd be loaded?
Slurring, and right before you say goodbye to all these people, you'd say what to them?
I'd say, later, husband!
Yeah, I miss the... Hey, welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, live from the... Hey, I know that dude! Hey, dude! Yeah! Black Crowes, right on! Awesome, man! Hey, dude, don't touch my shoulder! Hey, back off, man! Hey, man, you're invading my personal privacy! And then they just sit here and then just be dead air.
The only boss in my life to ever tell me to get loaded at work. I love
you. Please. All right. This is radio. Now, somebody, and that man's name is Frank, is going to have an opportunity to win $50,000 with one flick of the wrist. Frank?
What's up?
Frank, what happened? How did you? How did our paths cross?
I have no idea.
I believe we picked his name out of a box.
Mm-hmm.
I take it you're a virgin.
Uh-huh. So you filled out... You feel that, yes, you strike me as a guy who doesn't pull down a ton of tail, but probably more in the heap than the ton category, yes?
Give or take, yeah.
All right.
Places the lotion in the bathroom.
Frank, what do you do for a living?
I'm a contractor with the gas company.
Uh-huh. Life in the fast lane with Frank. And
auctioneer.
I'm guessing he auctions livestock. You could probably use Carnival Barker. Okay, you could probably use the 50 grand, yes?
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yes. All right, and again, you see why I get paid so much, people? So, Frank, you filled out the little ticket. You threw it in the box. We drew your name out from hundreds of potential names. Already, you've been separated from the pack. How are you feeling today? And have you been gambling today?
I'm fixing to be gambling.
So you've not gambled yet?
Not yet.
But you're fixing to gamble.
I like that. Are you from the South?
No.
Fixing to be?
No, he fixes sewer pipes for a living.
Oh, you're
so
right.
He says fixing.
Thank you.
All the time. All right, so Frank, a little about yourself. Where do you hail from?
New York.
New York, really?
What part, Frank?
Oh. Sing Sing. Livonia.
Upstate?
Yeah.
Mmm. Now, all these fast-talking Jews from NYC, I can't keep track of them, T.
This guy won't shut up.
All right, come on. Let me see if I can squeeze a word in edgewise. So, Frank, you come out from New York. Did you move out? Did you relocate to Las Vegas? Or are you just a huge Adam Carolla fan?
No, I got out in the Navy a couple of years ago and mm-hmm. got a job with the company I got now.
And that's out here in Las Vegas?
Yep.
So you live out here in Vegas. You're not a gambler, though.
Not really, no.
But you will be gambling when you spin that roulette wheel tonight.
Yes, I will.
All right, so the way it works is you spin it. There's a $50,000 number. If you pick the right number, if it lands on the number you pick, you're going to walk away with $50,000. Are you ready to do that?
Yes.
Demonstrative. All right.
Is this George Maloof?
T, if he keeps that sweet talk up anymore, those panties are just going to fall right off you, right?
Listen, I'm half a bottle into the Jim Beam, and this guy is charming my pants off.
All right, Frank, why don't you make the long and boring pilgrimage to the roulette wheel?
Frank and I are heading through the throngs. Hi, Jack Silver.
What's up, T. Strasser?
T is taking her thong, and she's carrying it through the throngs.
Frank has clearly won over the crowd. The goodwill is seeping through all of our hearts.
The man has a Clooney-esque magnetism, would you say?
We are heading towards the roulette table here at the casino at the Palms.
His Q rating is off.
Frank is right behind me, gabbing.
Would you tell that chatty Kathy to be quiet so I could get a word in edgewise?
Adam said just shut the F up.
Who
I'm
talks more, him or Bobby Slayton?
It's hard. Okay, here we are. We're at the roulette table.
Yes.
Stakes are high.
Explain to Frank this is not a gabbing competition. It's a gambling
Frank
competition.
Frank is the... He's the pit bull of serial killers.
Sup.
Sup again is the same. We heard that. Sup.
Do you understand why I got out of the construction trade?
It's his catchphrase. Sup.
Probably.
All right,
all
Frank.
All right, Frank.
Now, we will not spin the wheel just yet. We will take a quick break. That's anticipation. It's foreplay, people. It's only good radio.
Way to tease.
We'll take a quick break. Frank?
Say yes.
Yeah.
Millions of people listening across the world. Do you have anything you'd like to say to them at this point?
Not really.
Awesome stuff, buddy. I knew Frank wouldn't disappoint.
Awesome.
All right, Frank. We'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll take a quick break. When we come back to the Palms, Frank will spin the roulette wheel for a chance to win $50,000. We'll do it next. Yeah! Yeah!
Hell
yeah.
I think, hold on a second. I got to drink my beer.
Yeah!
Thank you, Dawson.
It's Miller Lite, by the way.
Gotta get it on.
It's, where are we? At Palms. Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Later, Hosen.
All right, well, a couple more minutes to go. Teresa is standing by the roulette wheel with Frank, or as his co-workers know him, Mr. Hollywood.
You know, I've just learned something interesting about Frank. When he was in the Navy, he was actually a code breaker, a cryptologist.
Really?
I swear.
It was any gig where he could stay alone, locked up in a room, and not talk to anybody.
If I told you, Adam, I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, nah, hey, oh, my wind talker. What they would do with Frank is they would send him ahead to bore the enemy. So they would fall asleep at their post.
That's the best time to attack.
We could slip in under the cover of boredness. All right, so Frank, wow. I would love to scratch his lottery ticket one day over a few beers, but there's just not enough time left in the day for it. So, T.
Yes.
You're poised at the roulette wheel.
Yeah, we've got a crowd surrounding us, including Jack Silver, who is hammered and inappropriately groping me.
Oh, that doesn't sound like the Jack Silver I know.
And I've got Frank here. He has a chip, the Palms chip. And, you know, this is big, Frank. It's for 50 grand. So now you've got to choose a number.
All right.
You know what you want?
Yep, we're going black 13.
Okay.
I say if Frank wins, he takes all the money and pours it into a studio and cuts his first spoken word album.
It's called Sup.
It's called Sup.
What do you think, Frank?
Yeah.
Frank, what will you do with the money?
Absolutely nothing.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, the gods must be smiling on you then, Frank. The nation is pulling for you.
They're not smiling on us.
Okay, now, Raphael is our roulette dealer, if you call them dealers.
Did he spin it already?
It is spinning. It is spinning. It is spinning.
Holy
the ball
Christ.
Is flying around the roulette
wheel. Now, what
wheel.
Number did he choose?
He chose 13. Spinning, spinning, spinning.
Lucky number 13.
It is not
13.
Slowing down. Wow, these roulette wheels take a long time.
Well, Raphael's on the juice.
Raphael,
that thing will
are you
spin
juicing?
For days.
Oh, it's slowing down. The crowd. Oh, it looks like it's landing on
31.
I thought it was 13 for a second, but it was 31. I'm so sorry,
so
Frank.
So imagine the same two. Like, what if somebody said, "Hey, for $50,000, you can pick a number, and the two digits you pick." Will be the same.
Exactly opposite.
I'd pick 22 if I had
Frank,
that
I wanted you to win so much.
So did I. Adam had my hopes up.
Well, you're going to have to. I guess that new bullhorn is just going to have to wait, Frank.
That's okay. No big deal.
All right, buddy. Say hi to the other folks over at the gas company. By the way, that just sounds like a good name for a bar. We need to take ourselves a little extendo break. Oh, hell, all the way through the weekend. Just time to give our thanks out. Where thanks are due, yes? How about Wayne Brady for coming in here and bringing his A game? Live at the Venetian Hotel Thursday through Sunday. How about Robbie Gordon? He'll be racing in Vegas at the Motor Speedway this Saturday. How about Bobby Slayton? Hooters Casino Wednesday through Sunday. I want to thank my buddies Ozzy and Ray for coming out here. I didn't even see Ray.
I didn't either. I saw Ozzy.
I'm going to thank Ozzy's got to be at least three or four tortillas to the wind by now.
I think 12.
He's actually, God knows what he's doing with that donkey. Get him out of there. Get him out now. I want to thank Miller Lite, Spearmint Rhino, Subaru, Zip Fizz, Playboy TV, Astroglide. By the way, I've ingested all of these things thus far.
Same.
The perfect push-up and, of course, our great friends in Vegas. 107.5 Extreme Rock Radio, KXTE, Vegas. Thank you guys for being such a great affiliate for us these last few years. We really appreciate it. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo.